Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today's Wednesday, April 24th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a Manayunk restaurant is being accused of illegally dumping waste into the public sewage system. The owner of Hot Pot says the pipes in the restaurant were clogged and that employees were dumping only mop and dishwater into the sewer. But a Manayunk resident took photos and video of the employees dumping a substance down the sewer on a couple of occasions since the restaurant opened less than 2 weeks ago. It appears that they don't have anywhere to dispose of their garbage. So what they do is they pile it into the alley, they wash it down, and they're dumping the garbage into the sewer, the resident says. Regardless of what it is, you're not allowed to take your garbage from the restaurant and bring it out to the public sidewalk and pour it out on the curb. City of Philadelphia said it is investigating. The water department took samples from the sewer to see what exactly is being dumped. You should not be putting anything into the sewer other than rainfall, the water department spokesman said. Anything else is considered illegal dumping. Officials confirm the kissing bug has made it to Delaware. According to the CDC, a family from Kent County says an insect bite bit their child's face back in July of 2018 while watching TV. A window air conditioning unit was located in the child's bedroom where the bite occurred. After testing, the insect was confirmed to be the kissing bug.
What is the kissing bug?
So apparently it's a blood-sucking insect that feeds on animals and humans, and they're known to bite humans in the face.
That is
Yeah.
That's the preferred point of biting? Is it that they go for the face?
On a human,
I've never heard of this demon.
Because we don't have them here. That's why. And that's why this is a little concerning.
If this photo on our monitor is one of those...
Have you seen one?
It looks kind of like the spotted lanternfly. It looks a little bit like that.
It does.
Interesting.
You got to see the... It's more red, like when it spreads its wings,
yeah,
right?
When it's flying, yeah.
Holy hell!
It looks similar to that. Okay.
The discovery in Delaware is the first in the state. Fortunately, the girl didn't fall ill, but the insect bite can carry the deadly Chagas disease.
What?
Yeah, which can cause serious cardiac and gastrointestinal complications.
So the bug targets your face and gives you a deadly disease.
Yes, pretty much. Deadly diarrhea, apparently.
So where do they? Does it give a point of origin, Kathy, of these bugs?
Yeah. So they say that most people who with Chagas disease become infected in rural areas of Mexico, Central America, and South America. But according to the CDC, the Delaware family reported no recent travel outside of the local area, so they're not sure. So symptoms of the disease include fever, fatigue, body aches, headache, rash, loss of appetite, diarrhea, and vomiting. But other symptoms can include enlarged heart failure, altered heart rate or rhythm, and cardiac arrest. The CDC recommends consulting your doctor because most people do not know their illness is tied to Chagas disease. By a vote of 7-2, the Radnor School Board voted to start classes at Radnor High School an hour later. The vote comes after more than a year of studying the scientific research of the benefits of adolescent sleep and school start times and following a national trend at school districts nationwide.
This is a win-win. This is a win-win. The kids go in later. The parents who have to get up with their kids to get up a little bit later.
What's later in this
case? I don't know. Rochelle gets up at 6 a.m. to go with the kids.
So with that move, Radnor High School becomes the first school in southeastern Pennsylvania to begin classes an hour later at 8:30 beginning next year.
All right. I was just wondering about when you're getting off to school and getting the kids off to school, if you're going to work or whatever. That still falls within the wheelhouse, right?
Depending on what time you need to be there, I guess. So for some people, it might be an inconvenience if they do have to get the kids off and get to work if they got a long commute or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm only thinking of my situation.
Well, we all do. Yeah.
But there's school buses. I mean, you know, they're all buses. Alternatives to getting to school.
And it's a high school.
I'll
tell you where, because when I went to junior high school, there was a ton of kids in the area that I was living in, and they actually were building a second junior high school to take some of the load. Yeah. So we did split schedules. And I used to go into school like at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember the first half of the day because I was so goddamn tired.
Yeah.
So I was a bus guy until I drove. I was only a bus guy for like 1 year because my brother drove me to school. The burden never fell on my parents to get me to school.
I'm telling you, they're figuring these things out over the years of what actually works and sets in for the kids. Like, because now, as opposed to when we went to high school, Steve, and probably you as well, guys, instead of, you know, 6 or 7 periods at our school, they do 4 blocks.
Yeah, and
so
not
you, so 4, essentially, 4 classes, but they're longer. They're like 1.5 to 2 hours long. And you only do it for a semester, and then you, as opposed to taking one class the entire year, 7 of them, you know what I mean?
It's more
like
college.
It's less work, but more concentrated on the subject that you are actually working on, and therefore it sinks in better. I think it's brilliant.
I think more and more schools are doing that
now. To do that?
Well,
yeah.
Not starting. I think that they're into it. I think more schools do that now than not, than the
okay.
old way.
Okay. Well, that's clearly why I'm so stupid.
Same here.
I never had built up the interest in any particular thing.
Yeah. The American Academy of Pediatrics, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the American Medical Association have all issued policy statements recommending that adolescents get 8 to 10 hours of sleep each night and that the high school day should begin at 8:30 a.m. or later. It seems most of the students and parents are in support of the change at Radnor. Phoenixville, Unionville, and Tredyffrin Easttown all recently voted to begin their high school start times 30 minutes later. With the change this fall, Radnor High School will end their school day 45 minutes later.
Did you guys hit the ground running in high school, or did you have a homeroom?
No, we had a class, and it was physics. And so my first class of the day was physics. And
you're
then,
talking about your senior year.
Senior year. But Case, it then was homeroom. So you didn't even get that adjustment period of getting to school. And I know. It was awful.
So homeroom came second?
It did.
Wait, why?
I didn't have homeroom at all in high school. That homeroom ended in...
Your first class was homeroom.
Grade school.
So for whatever my first class was, that was whatever the subject we were learning, that was homeroom. And then we get the announcements at the beginning of that class.
No, so I had literally freshman through senior year... the same class with the same people.
Because it was an alphabetical order.
Because it was an alphabetical
order,
I
had homeroom, too. And we were only there for like 5 minutes, and then you left.
Actually, it was a little bit longer because we had Channel 1, which was like the news program. So you would sit there.
You would
Russian
watch
television.
Morning announcements, and you would get news.
Comments.
Yeah. I tell you what, so I didn't have homeroom, but what sucked is 1 year, might have been my senior year, first period was gym. Oh, that sucked.
Then you sweated the rest of the day.
Isn't that even forbidden?
You should
first
be.
First period's gym?
Yeah, and you had the rest of the day stinky. Or if there was a segment where we did, like, we had an indoor pool, and we had to do it, and you were soaking wet, and you smelled like chlorine.
Well, that was poor planning.
Yeah, it sucked. So, but anyhow.
You finish off with gym so you can cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's do sports this morning. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons led the Sixers from the opening tip to beat the Brooklyn Nets 120-100 last night. And close out their Eastern Conference playoff series in 5 games. Up next, a second round series against the Toronto Raptors, who dropped their playoff opener before winning 4 straight against Orlando. The same thing the Sixers did to Brooklyn. The Sixers stunned the Nets with a 14-0 run to start the game, and the Nets later trailed 20-2. Simmons put an exclamation point on the first quarter when he used a right-handed slam dunk to make it 32-12. The schedule for the second round has not yet been announced. In the other 3 games last night, the Toronto Raptors beat the Orlando Magic to advance, and the Portland Trailblazers did the same thing to the Oklahoma City Thunder. In the Western Conference Series, the Denver Nuggets beat the San Antonio Spurs and now lead that series 3-2. Pitcher Zach Wheeler connected for his first major league home run and struck out 11 in 7 strong innings as the Mets handed the Phillies their 5th loss in 6 games, 9-0 last night in Queens. For the Phils, it was another quiet game until 2 out in the 9th when Mets reliever Jacob Rehm threw a 2 fastballs over Rhys Hoskins' head. The benches started to clear after the first time, and Hoskins angrily slugged his bat after the next one, which was 4. The series continues tonight, and Vince Velasquez will go for the Phils, while Jason Vargas gets the start for the Mets. Game time is at 7 o'clock, and that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Welcome to the sun coming up on a Wednesday morning of the Preston and Steve Show. On Wednesdays, we like to do a secret text word, and today we have a chance for you to win some tickets to see Trevor Noah's Loud and Clear Tour May 3rd, and this will be at the Met. And it's a 10 p.m. show, so we have a pair of tickets to give away today. 2 different ways to win. You just enter the same way. You just send the word secret to 39333. And we will send a word back to your phone. Hang on to that, because later on we'll ask you to call in with that word. And the designated caller wins the tickets. And if for some reason you can't be listening later on, we just grab a random texter and we give away a pair that way as well. We also have money today. Go Fund Yourself Part 2 is happening. We'll get to that around 8 o'clock. We gave away a grand yesterday. Maybe you're the next winner.
Yes.
But our version of it is just one of five that happens through the course of the day. So details at WMMR.com. And we do have a $10,000 grand prize. And I'll tell you how you can get involved in that when we get to that around 8 a.m. We also go live on Fox Good Day today. And I think we might be doing a contest if we have some time.
We should do it.
And
make sure we do it.
I've asked you guys to do it for me. It's all about Game of Thrones, but don't worry about it. You really don't have to do much. It's all on me. But we have prizes to give away in conjunction with this.
Well, even if you're not a listener, occasionally you have said things that you could achieve.
Like Tron.
Citing Tron. I have faith in you on this time, though, because you just went through the whole series.
Yeah, it's about Game of Thrones.
And this is such a global... craze, yep. Game of Thrones, that I think a lot of people will be intrigued by this.
And I've watched it, you know, concentrated. I've been watching it every day for the past few months. So anyhow, we'll do that a little bit later on, and I know we have some other things to get into. So, we got to find out what you guys thought of Endgame yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Steve and Casey and Nick went to see it, so we'll get, without any spoilers at all, just getting an idea.
Just who lives and who dies.
Your sense. Yeah, just that. Yeah. That's all I want to know. We're going to take a break. We'll do sorority party invites because that is tomorrow night. So get set for that. And we will return shortly. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Stupid question this morning. Pair of tickets join Casey and Nick. They're headed to a suite for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race at Dover International Speedway. That will be on May 5th. Question as we continue to dive into the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because Endgame is on Friday. The question that I have, thank you, Craig Ligons, again, from the Comic Book Gurus podcast, for these questions from the Winter Soldier. When Steve Rogers finds himself in an elevator full of rogue S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, what does he ask them? 215-263-WMMR. It's one of my favorite scenes from all the movies.
You're going to love the new movie then.
Yay! Yeah. All right, 215-263-WMMR. What does he say to them, Steve Rogers, when he finds himself in an elevator full of rogue S.H.I.E.L.D. agents? 215-263-WMMR. I'll go through some birthdays. Today is Wednesday, April 24th. And Kelly Clarkson has her birthday today.
Oh, my God.
Kelly is 37. What?
I idolize her.
Yes, you do. Yes.
She's a powerhouse singer. She won season one, beating Justin Guarini.
Yep.
She's in one of my favorite movies of all time.
That's right.
Yeah. Justin Kelly. Yeah. Also love that movie. She's on, is it The Voice now?
She is a judge.
Like her on that show. I think she does a really good job.
I think she's someone who looks better carrying a bit of weight. Yes. I think she's slavishly tried to lose weight over the years.
She was pretty. Yeah, she was very thin for a while, and then she kind of just went back to her.
Yeah, I think that's
which
better.
Is fine.
Yeah,
I agree. I think it suits her. You know, there are some people with
softy, curvy.
Yeah,
works
yeah.
for her.
Yeah, great singer too. Yeah, she's 37 today. Cedric the Entertainer is 55 years old today.
We were just talking to was it Steve Byrne? He's in Cedric the Entertainer's in a movie. The movie that he did about comedians.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's, yeah. That's right. Always liked him. He's 55 today. Jaimin Hunsu, who is in the MCU, by the way.
He
was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
And also, he was in Captain Marvel, too. He is 55.
And Amistad, right?
Oh, and he's in Shazam. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, he's in Amistad and Gladiator and all that. What
the hell is he in Shazam?
He plays the little boy.
No, he doesn't play the little boy.
Billy Batson.
No, but he is in the, and I couldn't
is
tell
Is he
you
a voice
name
or?
Of his character. No, he's in it.
He's Wizard.
He's Wizard. That's him.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
So he is 55 today. Barbara Streisand. Babs,
as we call her.
77 years old today. Wow.
Now, you know what? Robert Rodriguez, the director, sat down. He does a show on his El Rey network and just talked to her about directing for an hour. And it was really good. And she was really, you know, because she directed The Prince of Tides.
That's what I was going to ask. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, a couple different movies and has done that. And man, it was a really good exchange of ideas.
Yeah. And there's a woman, you know, you mentioned Kelly Clarkson with a little bit of weight. You know, Barbara doesn't have a little bit of weight, but she has a non-traditional look about her as far as attractiveness, something sexy about her, even though she's not your stereotypical sex, you know what I mean?
I will tell you where you can see that on display. A movie called What's Up, Doc?
Yeah.
With Ryan O'Neal.
Sure.
She's very sexy.
Yeah.
But I don't like flawless, picture-perfect, runway-looking people.
Yeah.
I like flaws.
Yeah.
Because I'm just a whole warehouse of flaws.
Now, I know she's in the same movie, the remake, but, you know, Lady Gaga has that kind of
same deal
thing about her,
yep,
too. So Barbara is 77 today. Casey?
Yeah?
Shirley MacLaine.
Oh! Wait. Is she still...
She's 85.
Damn it.
Yeah, she's still in her 80s.
She still looks good, Case. Yes. I think you got to stop with your arbitrary number, and I think you can hump them right into the coffin.
Do you remember her in Cannonball Run 2? And Mary Lou Henner?
No. Yeah.
No. Oh, you don't remember those? They dressed as nuns, Preston.
Oh, yes, I do. And she dressed as a nun in Two Mules for Sister Sarah, if you remember that, with Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood, yeah.
But Casey, real quickly, your dream, if you don't mind recapping.
Oh, man, just quick. Do I really have to?
Just quick.
I just had a dream that that she and I were on a motorcycle. She was actually driving the motorcycle. I was riding bitch, but we were actually doing it, having intercourse on the motorcycle.
Okay, so this element, I never realized it was not you driving the motorcycle.
No,
in this
no,
dream.
No, no. She
I didn't
was
either,
riding
Steve.
The
right? This is new information.
Back. Yeah, yeah.
How would that make sense if we were.
Well, because then
she
that
was
means.
Getting it, me from behind?
No, that means.
Oh,
it,
I didn't know
no,
there
no,
was
no.
sex. I just. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten the details, so thank you for reminding
yeah,
me.
We were,
she's pegging you.
We were on a cross rocket.
Pegging you. Oh, my God.
We really trying to make sense of a dream with Shirley MacLaine on a motorcycle.
Dude, remember that time that Shirley MacLaine pegged Casey?
You know, I'm not remembering that.
I don't remember that. Let's let's not even say that again so that people think that I had that dream. In the dream, I was the man. I was the man. I took charge.
All right. You just weren't driving the motorcycle.
I was
no.
not. I was not.
Shirley's 85. And then the last birthday director, Richard Donner, Steve. I know he's done some stuff you love.
Oh, absolutely.
And everybody loves because the Goonies is in there as well.
The Goonies. He did the Lethal Weapon, the first Lethal Weapon. And he did the first and a lot of the second Superman. And that first Superman has so many iconic scenes. And he's just great. He's a great
director. And The Omen, another big
movie. The original Omen, yeah.
Love that movie. He's 89, by the way. So let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. So when Steve Rogers finds himself in an elevator full of rogue S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, what does he ask them? 215-263-WMMR. And I am going to go to Chris. Hey, Chris, how you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. All right, do you know the answer?
Before we get started, does anybody want to get out?
That's it, my man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hang on a second, Chris. We'll get your information, and we'll take care of you. And you're going to get a pair of tickets to join Casey and Nick and a suite for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race at Dover International Speedway, May 5th. And you can celebrate Dover International Speedway's 50th anniversary during race weekend, which is May 3rd through the 5th. For information and tickets, you can visit DoverSpeedway.com.
So one of the great cinematic fights of all time, especially because it's close quarters and,
yeah,
and the tension that builds with the. But what I really love is afterwards when he uses his shield, jumps out.
Yes.
Lands on it. Boom!
Yeah.
It's great. So well done.
Also, Press, I just don't want you to leave out the one birthday. I believe it's a Game of Thrones birthday, second in from your left.
Oh, my God, I didn't even see that. Rory McCann, who plays Sandor Clegane or the Hound.
Yes.
On Game of Thrones. He is a great character.
So
Steve,
what does he do? Does he...
He's...
HVAC?
He is yeah, just like, he's the most unhappy, curmudgeon-y, don't even get near me type of person very little loyalty to anybody but himself. But right. His brother is the Mountain.
Who we've
had here in the studio. So he's like the runt of the litter, and he's gigantic.
Does he command? Does he? Is it a relationship where he sort of exerts control over the Mountain? Or
he was burned in the face that when they were kids.
Yeah.
The Mountain shoved his face in a fire and burned him. And he's
freaking Mountain.
He's a wild character, man.
And then this is a Game of Thrones birthday as well. Aidan Gillen.
Oh my God, Aidan Gillen, who plays Lord Peter Baelish, Littlefinger.
I thought you were going to say Lord Peter Baelish.
He was in Sing Street. He was the dad in Sing Street.
Oh, he's really good.
He's been in a lot of stuff as well. So you love to hate that guy. What?
You do a good Littlefinger impression.
Go ahead.
Sansa, it's not the same in the north. When I'm trying to think of anything he was saying.
He gets so low in his
speech. Chaos is a ladder. So you just want to.
Rhythm is a dancer.
Rhythm is a dancer.
To the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Come on, shake your body, baby. Do the mumba. Peter Baelish.
You can't control yourself any longer.
Any longer. Feel the rhythm of the music getting stronger.
See? Great impression.
Thank you. Thank you. He does the Westeros sound machine.
That's right.
He's the lead singer of the band.
Everybody, you picked a great night to show up!
All right, I do have some stories I gots to get to, so let's dive in right now. Ola and Abel Azandario, the two brothers from Chicago police say staged an attack on Jussie Smollett, are suing his attorney for defamation and are claiming that remarks they made, the attorneys made, endangered their lives and harmed their careers. The suit also alleges that Smollett directed the attack against himself. The lawsuit claims attorneys Mark Garagos and Tina Glandian made public defamatory statements against the plaintiffs, which are published broadly in Illinois by major news outlets such as the Chicago Sun-Times, Chicago Tribune, and WGN Radio. Lawsuit continues saying that these tortuous statements, involve a hoax conducted in Illinois and orchestrated by Mr. Smollett, finally. And importantly, these statements also impacted the reputation of plaintiffs who are employed and live in Illinois. So they're sticking with this state.
So stop and think about this. You got these brothers who are suing Smollett. You have the city of Chicago that's suing Smollett. You have a newly elected mayor that's going to be coming in after Rahm Emanuel. And he's going to, has already stated publicly she wants to investigate this. So, you know,
not to mention
everyone's knocking at the door here.
Yep.
I hope they're really confident that they believe he's, that he's innocent of this because every scintilla of evidence I've seen, and apparently there's a wealth of it, suggests he orchestrated this. So I don't know what they're hoping is going to happen.
Yep.
I got it innocent until proven guilty. But Jesus Christ,
if he did indeed do this, which it looks like he did, I mean, at some point you've got to stop the lie and go. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, look at what happened with Lori Loughlin and in that case, in the Varsity Blues case, where they legally, I mean, Garagos is no piker when it comes to this stuff. He defended, Michael Jackson, defended a lot of high-profile people, so he knows what he's doing. But in this case, it just seems like, what are you doing?
Yep.
All right, so charges have been dropped, right?
Like, the DA, I believe it was the DA, said, who's in a lot of trouble, Fox, I think her name is, said that we're not saying he's innocent. We're just saying we're dropping the charges because he did a little work. He did a little community service, and he didn't get his bond back of $10,000.
All right, so does that mean that even if he were to come clean right now and say, I messed up, I did this, I'm so sorry. Because right now he's saying, say my, I wouldn't be my mother's son if I, blah,
there's
blah.
There's two different angles here.
Okay.
You have the local and then you have the federal, which is the sending of the mail. The FBI is investigating that.
Okay.
The letters that were sent to him.
Furthermore, the suit alleges that Mr. Smollett used his clout as a wealthy actor to influence the plaintiffs who were in a subordinate relationship with him and were aspiring to make it in Hollywood. And then they continued saying, on January 25th, 2019, Mr. Smollett told plaintiffs in private that he needed a favor from them. They were to help him stage a social media hoax and pretend to attack him. Mr. Smollett's motivation was simple. He wanted the employer and public to notice and appreciate him as a successful black openly gay actor. So Mr. Smollett directed every aspect of the attack, including the location and the noose. So that's what they say in their suit. So this is they're seeking unspecified damages. So we will see where this goes. Here's a weird story. Just when you think the Wendy Williams-Kevin Hunter split can't get any more dramatic, it does. The latest report from TMZ claims that police investigated Hunter for possibly poisoning her.
Wendy?
Yeah. Police tell TMZ.
I read TMZ every day and I miss this.
That someone who claimed to work for her production company called with concerns in January. When officers arrived at her New Jersey home, Hunter did not want to let them in for the welfare check, saying that Williams was sick and recovering from a health issue.
Sick.
Eventually, TMZ reports that they found her in bed covered in blankets from neck to toe.
Yeah, this is Kevin. She can't come to the door because she's sick.
When they...
Doesn't sound like Kevin.
What? How did Cowper get involved in that?
My name's not Matt Cowper.
When they asked her if there was any truth to the rumor, she reportedly became tearful and denied it.
Hmm.
Since then, Williams filed for divorce from Hunter amid the cheating rumors and as she was living in a sober home and getting treatment addiction. So this is... this is conjecture. This is a rumor. So Hunter was also booted from the Wendy Williams show where he worked as an executive producer. But that's I had not heard that little twist that he tried to poison her. That's, you know, but there's no proof behind it.
The relationship with the side action that he got pregnant was apparently going on for 10 years.
Yes.
10 years.
Yep.
10 years. Man.
10 years, man.
10. Wow.
Yeah.
10 years, man. 10.
Well, James Holzhauer did it on Jeopardy. The 34-year-old professional sports gambler from Las Vegas continued to roll, winning his 14th straight game on Tuesday, surpassing $1 million in winnings. Everybody knew that was going
to
happen.
I predicted it down to the day because you just saw the track, and the way that he does his daily double wagering is off the charts.
He's the fastest to reach the $1 million mark in the show's history, doing it in half of the time of Jeopardy legend Ken Jennings. Now, Jennings holds the show record with 74 straight wins. He earned $2.5 million in that run. Huh. It'll be interesting to see if this guy can hold it up as long as Ken Jennings did or not.
So Ken Jennings was addressing him, this guy, James, right?
Mm-hmm.
And saying that what he possesses, that gambling edge, you know, with an incredible... You guys
knowledge.
Have seen... he's.
Yeah.
Freaking smart with really a level smart. Of confidence and a breadth of knowledge that is Ken Jennings-esque.
Mm-hmm.
So you take that with his ability to wager and play the board right, and he's also good on the button.
All right, so real quick, what is his average total, like, when he wins?
Average? I don't know.
Alex said it last night.
It's over 50. It usually is, right?
Yeah.
All right, so if he were to do what Ken Jennings did, which is 74 wins in a row times $50,000, it's over $3.5 million
okay.
winning.
All right. His style is the subject of much analysis. His strategy of picking higher value questions early is not unique. However, his combination of strategy and extensive knowledge makes him an extremely formidable contestant. He tells the New York Times that he read nonfiction children's books to build up his knowledge base. And his aggressive wagers on daily double titles and during Final Jeopardy have led him to the top 5 one-day scores in history of the game. Top five.
So
including a single game record of $131,127, which was set last week.
Just amazing. So I watch the the Classroom right before Jeopardy so I can feel smart.
Our buddy Richard Curtis.
Yeah. And then I go over to Jeopardy and feel like an imbecile.
By the way, they want us to be on that show.
Yes,
on
I know.
Classroom. Yeah, are we getting that set up?
Yeah.
I want to do that.
We are. All right, so I've only seen this guy play one time. And he cleaned up on ballet. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes, dude, like he know
like ballet.
To know that stuff, and sometimes a question will come up, and I'll like say to my wife, "Up, this seems like a really tough one." Confidently answers it.
I tell you what feels awesome. Sorry to interrupt, Nick. Is when you can answer a question that he doesn't get right.
Yes,
yeah. I have had that happen a couple times. Like, see,
you idiot.
But I also believe it. And sorry again, Nick, just to jump in here. I think, and maybe you can back me up on this, Nick. I know you've been watching all along as well. I think sometimes he floats those out. I think there's an ultimate overarching strategy to the way he plays the other contestants.
I think he'll not answer sometimes on purpose.
Yes. Yeah,
yes. Really?
I think he's that deliberate in how he approaches the game.
Wow.
And I was telling you guys off air yesterday, he was on a game show in 2014 or 2015, and it was a one-off, but he set a single record on that, and that this game show was on YouTube. It's since been removed, so I can't find the link, but the name of the show is escaping me. It was a very attractive blonde host.
Brooke Burke?
It looked like Burke. Burke might have been her, but I don't remember. Yeah. The premise of the game was it was three people on one team versus a guy who was really good at trivia, and you would take his money. It was Win Ben Stein's money, except it wasn't Win Ben Stein's money. Right. And James was on that show and dominated. And to your point, Steve, he has no weaknesses. So, like, if I'm watching Jeopardy, I'm not very good at, say, Bible studies or whatever. And if that's a category, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do very well in this round. He has no weaknesses.
Well, and that's the fans and massive fans. I know we're all massive fans of Jeopardy. That is the thing. Sometimes the categories will don't favor you. I have yet to see him encounter a category.
He's Thanos.
He is Thanos.
He's Thanos of Jeopardy.
He's Thanos with the bizarre smile.
This is just an email, but the person that emailed in said that he averages over 70,000 per show.
Yeah.
Ken Jennings' average was 30,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we got a bunch of texts coming in. So, Casey, even bigger.
All right, I'm going to do it now. New math.
You're looking at closer to 4 million, probably.
Wow.
Well, okay, so we'll follow along. Amid persistent rumors of a feud that pits Prince William and Kate Middleton against Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, the Fab Four is keeping up appearances on
the Beatles?
Social media. No, these four people that I just mentioned.
Of course, you just said them.
When Prince Louis turned one on Tuesday, Harry and Meghan shared their well wishes to their nephew on Instagram. This, of course, was after Kate and William shared three adorable shots of the royal tot, to which Meghan and Harry, via their new Sussex Royal handle, wrote, happy birthday, Louis, sending lots of love from us both, along with a cake emoji, balloon emoji, and XO. By the way, did you know, I saw this, I think it might have been on BuzzFeed this morning, that there is a group of people, it is so funny.
A conspiracy?
These conspiracy people who say that she is faking her pregnancy.
No, shut up.
I swear to God.
No. Mm-hmm.
And I think they're, I think they're calling it, Mexit.
Megxit.
Oh,
like Brexit?
Yeah.
So what is the end game on that then, to fake the pregnancy?
Well, that somebody else is carrying the baby, maybe, and she's faking being actually pregnant, and they'll have a surrogate and pretend that she gave birth to the baby.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
It seems totally feasible.
So a baby who would not be of the royal line, I don't freaking know. I just saw the headline.
If they're really good, try to pull off like a six-year-old.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Here's our new baby.
With the legs.
Kids out playing baseball. Playing
cricket. Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, despite reports indicating that Meghan and Harry are planning to decamp to Africa in part to get away from the royal drama, sources tell Harper's Bazaar that's simply not true as well. Britain is their home and where they want to raise their family, said a friend of the couple. If they are to work abroad, it would be a short stint.
Do you think the Queen for a second would allow them to live in Africa?
No.
It's insane.
They have to. They have royal duties.
Yes.
And they're going to handle
and
that.
And they make royal duties in the royal bathroom.
Of course they do. This is cool. Nick, you found the name of that show.
Yeah, a bunch of people emailed and texted. It's called The Chase.
And that is Brooke Burke.
Brooke Burns.
Brooke Burns,
I'm
sorry.
I always get confused between them as well. And then so you'd go up against this big guy whose name is Mark Labette or Labette, and he was very good at trivia, and so the people would try and steal his money, and James and his team just dominated in an episode of The Chase from 2014, I believe.
Man, I miss Brooke Burns.
Oh, yeah. What was that other, Doggy Dog, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of a Fear Factor type of
show.
Yeah. All right, so I love this guy, and this is great. The MTV Movie and TV Awards will be hosted by Zachary Levi. Had him on the show not too long ago.
It's great.
What a great guy.
Did you ever watch Chuck?
I did not.
Yeah.
It's a great show. But I am watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and he's on that.
He's on that, yeah.
And he's great in Shazam, and he's great in Tangled, and Thor. Yeah, you're right. The 38-year-old also has some big shoes to fill because former hosts include Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart, Amy Schumer, and most recently Tiffany Haddish. But I think he can handle it no problem.
He is very Ryan Reynolds-y.
Very much so. Yeah. He's got that
boyish,
fun,
boyish
attitude, yeah. Let's see. Bob Saget admits that he doesn't quite know what to make of his former Full House co-star Lori Loughlin's alleged involvement in the college admissions scandal. But he does tell the Today Show that it has been a strange time. He said that he loves her and says that he hasn't talked to her since her arrest in March. Of course, her and her husband pleaded not guilty.
That would be awesome.
But he's not been in touch with them, so he doesn't know exactly what to think about it. Let's see. The International Academy of Digital Arts and Sciences has handed out the 2019 Webby Awards. Will Smith, Childish Gambino, Monica Lewinsky, Ellen DeGeneres, Jimmy Fallon, and Jimmy Kimmel, along with The Walking Dead and Westworld, are among the people and projects receiving the internet's highest
honor.
Did you see
the trailer for this new Will Smith movie?
Yeah.
Where he is a younger version of himself cloned.
Yeah, it's called Gemini.
It is Gemini amazing.
Man. I'm sorry, yeah. I have not seen the trailer yet. I have read about it, but the replicating of him.
This is a seat. I mean, however they did it, it is young Will Smith who has been cloned to go after and kill older Will Smith. And I don't know, you know how they've been perfecting this more and more.
Yeah.
Well, he turns around and it's like, dear God, that's young Will Smith.
I got to see that because you're right. They've played with this a little bit, like in Tron. Remember that? And it was good, but a little bit off.
Then they did Stark in, when he was, and they also, you might see it in a new Marvel film coming out as well.
Yeah. Well, in Rogue One, like Princess Leia, they kind of got it.
Yeah.
But not
80%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's called Gemini Man. And
there's got to be a clip of him. Let it play for a second, and you'll see him as a younger.
We're watching video in the studio just to let you know. But we're looking at. I'll check it out later.
It's pretty wild.
Anyway, the official full trailer. It's Ang Lee's movie Gemini Man. By the way, he plays an elite assassin who has to track down a younger version of himself. So it's the other way around.
Okay,
he goes to kill the younger version. He says, "Is according to." Let's see, who said this? Ang Lee, I guess. He said he knew every move of mine before I made it. Smith's character says, I'm sorry, in the footage, before learning the identity of his target, I'd have him right there, I'd take the shot, and he would be gone like a ghost. Who is he? Clive Owen, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and Benedict Wong also star, and that opens in October. So, kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, clips, here we go. Chicago Med follows the city's most highly skilled medical team as they save lives and navigate their unique interpersonal relationships. In this clip, Tori DeVito talks about how her character, Natalie, has evolved over the seasons.
We saw her date and not really know what that looked like for her and how to do that with having a child and also going through the grieving process as well. And now I feel like she's at a really good place where she is able to accept love into her life. She's kind of learned how to navigate having a kid, having a career, and having a boyfriend.
Is she related to Danny DeVito?
No, it's spelled differently.
Okay. Yeah. Chicago Med airs tonight, 8 p.m. on NBC. Let's do the next clip. In Avengers Endgame, the team assembles one last time to restore the universe after it was left in ruins following Infinity War. In this clip, Scarlett Johansson talks about what this film means to her.
I always fall back and describe this as like a beautiful Valentine to the fans and to the franchises and all of us, all of us actors, all of our crew, our directors, all of Marvel have like poured their blood, sweat, and tears into this film. It hopefully will deliver.
Avengers Endgame premieres this Friday, so there you go, gang.
We'll give our spoiler-free take on it.
Yeah, your assessment.
A little later, yes.
All right, cool, man. That's the entertainment report. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a little while. Don't forget, we're less than an hour away. A chance for you to win $1,000. MMR's Go Fund Yourself, too. We're on the last run. It's this week, so get set for that. We'll be back in a moment.
We've shared a lot of MMR stories during our 50th birthday celebration. This year, for our birthday, we'd like you to share yours. Maybe you want a cool prize like a pair of concert tickets or even backstage passes, maybe even a trip to London. Maybe you went to an MMR event like the Louie Louie Parade or the Cardboard Classic or even Zappoween all those years ago. Maybe you've met one of us at a concert or a local club. Did you win a CD or a cassette or even an album? Maybe you got a tour of the station. Who knows? We want to hear about your MMR moment, whatever it might be. So call our MMR Memory Message Recorder. Get it? MMR. At 610-771-9666 and tell us your story. Stay brief and focused, just like me. We'll play them back during my MMR birthday broadcast, April 29th. We can't tell our story without you sharing yours. Together, we're 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
The last remaining slots for Kathy's cuts are early morning slots, I believe, right, Kath?
Yeah, so it's 6:30 and 7:30. We only have a few spots left. So, you know, I'm still getting questions and some emails from people who have yet to sign up. But these, you know, we're a little over, is it a week away or two weeks?
It is on
next Friday.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so if you want those spots, grab them now. Because once they're filled up, we can't really add any, you know, any other people. And some people still asking questions. All the details are on PrestonandSteve.com. You need a minimum of 12 inches of hair pulled back in a ponytail that can be cut for wigs for kids. You know, your hair can't be dyed or colored, anything like that. And if you have a little bit of gray, you're okay. And we have three great salons that are with us, Gravity Hair Salon and David Arnold Hair Salon. They've been with us for years. We added a new hair salon, Tier Hair. They'll be out there as well. Panera Bread's coming and Metro Beverage. They're going to provide some breakfast and coffee and things like that. It'll be May 3rd. It's the 12th annual Kathy's Cuts benefiting Wigs for Kids at True Beauty Concepts in Southampton. Go to PrestonandSteve.com and grab those last spots.
Yep, sign up now. We want to fill that whole thing out. Okay, quickly, and then we're going to move on to something else. No spoilers whatsoever. Okay, so you're in the clear. Don't worry about this. But Endgame, yesterday, Steve and Casey and Nick went to a pre-screening. Just want to get your impressions of the film, and that's it. And you guys respect the spoiler thing.
The process.
So do tell, Steve.
Okay, so I'll lead off. I'll tell you this. And I used these words yesterday. I'll use them again today. It is perfect.
Wow.
It is perfect.
Steve never says that.
It is and I will say it is an absolute love letter to the fans who have been along for the ride.
Yay.
And that's it. You know, 3 hours passes quickly.
All right.
Get a lot of popcorn or whatever you eat and just sit down and enjoy.
Case?
I don't want to ruin anything for anybody, so I'm just going to say everything that Steve said.
Okay.
Everything that Steve said. Because here's the bottom line. If you want to see it, you're going to go see it. It doesn't matter even if I said it sucked.
Yes.
You're still going to go see
it.
So I don't want to ruin anything for anybody.
Okay. And Nick?
If you were ever disappointed by, say, Return of the Jedi or Revenge of the Sith or the last episode of Lost, you will not be disappointed by the last Avengers movie. This movie
I knew I wouldn't, but it's good to hear that.
It's the perfect capping, Steve. Your word is perfect.
Yes.
Your perfect word is perfect. It's the best ending to any series I've ever seen.
No kidding.
By far.
Wow. 3 hours long?
3 hours long.
Did it feel that way?
Not at all. An hour and a half, it felt like.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
There is never... Well, and that's it. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. Okay.
And by the way, somebody had mentioned this app, Casey, if you are concerned, if you have an active bladder.
Oh, really?
Apparently, there's a movie app that's called Run Pee. And I have not looked into what it is, but I get an idea that the gist of it is it will give you a time stamp into the film as to when you won't miss a major plot point and you can get out and go pee real quick. Not a bad idea.
For a three-hour thing,
for a 3-hour movie.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so...
I definitely had to pee at some point and...
Did you have the popcorn bucket?
No. I was able to hold it, but me and Nick ended up meeting... As soon as, like, the credits started running, I was like, bing, and ran out.
Can I make one suggestion? If you're an emotional pussy like Casey and I, bring tissues, because I cried like a baby.
Wow, really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
There are 12 times.
Wow. Yeah.
From the beginning through to the end, and things that are obviously meant to create that response, and things that are just as a fan, you're going, oh yeah. And it gets you every time.
And there it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank
Brilliantly
you.
Brilliantly done.
Thank you guys. I'm happy to hear about that. Okay, let's make you feel terrible about your job.
All right.
There is the Wall Street. 24/7 Wall Street reviewed the 2018. Jobs rated report from CareerCast, a targeted job opportunity website to determine the worst jobs in America. And the report ranks over 200 careers on the overall quality of their work environment, amount of stress, occupational outlook, and income. So it's this combined parameter.
It's a service
study.
They provide to help you feel miserable.
Many of
to validate your misery.
Many of the worst jobs in America rank poorly because they have among the least job security in the U.S. labor force.
Like kamikaze pilot.
It's a bad one.
Yeah, but there's always going to be an opening.
Yeah, there is. It's true. Honestly, there's a big turnover.
Yeah. The, The rise of automation could reduce or completely eliminate certain unskilled professions, as well as some of the most dangerous jobs in the country. So they've got a list here. In the interest of time, I'll start.
Do the first 50.
No, I'll start with 20.
Okay.
And we'll begin with that. And we have things like the median annual wage, the projected job growth, and total employment and stuff like that. So,
and I assume that a small portion of that is also, as you said, danger on the job.
Yep.
Yeah.
But some of these are, well, All right, so number 20 is a brick mason.
A brick mason.
Yeah, the median annual wages. And I looked at all of these median annual wages, and
I think there's a big...
They seem low.
And they, yeah, I agree. I took a quick peek, and I also think that if you're a really in-demand brick mason, you'll probably make more.
You're probably really successful.
The goal is to work yourself up to a Dave Mason.
Yeah. My uncle did that. My uncle was a brick mason his whole life, and he was really good at it. I asked him about it one time, and he said, I'm a good wall guy.
Yeah.
And he made good walls, and you know, it was honorable work.
All right, so $50,950 is the median annual wage.
Okay.
Projected job growth 10.3% by 2026. I don't follow all of those stats.
But anyhow, that's a bunch of nonsense.
It's a physically demanding job. Workers have to lift, move, and lay heavy materials, typically outdoors and often during the summer. They face demands to complete projects, and they have several upsides, though, including the relatively high median annual wages compared to the median of all jobs that are factored into, and the fact that the growing U.S. population will likely lead to steady job growth.
Honestly, they spend all day laying.
Come on.
Yeah.
Number 19 is automobile mechanic. Median annual wage, $40,710. Though working as an automobile mechanic requires some post-secondary education, specifically at a trade school, as well as a certification, the median annual pay for mechanic is just slightly higher than that of the average American job.
So let's say you're working at a mom-and-pop place and you're a mechanic. You're going to probably make a little bit less. But let's say you are a Lamborghini mechanic.
Yeah,
it's going to be a whole different set of rules, right?
They often have a difficult job environment as they regularly get into awkward and uncomfortable positions for long stretches to diagnose and fix automotive problems.
Have you guys ever been out to that Universal Technical Institute, UTI? It's out near the airport near the Downingtown airport, the turnpike in the Downingtown exit. I don't know why I said airport.
That's where the planes are.
It has nothing to do with the word I was trying to say, which was turnpike.
Over by the vomitorium?
No. And the reason I bring it up is, A, they're a client, but B, I've been there twice, and they find people jobs so fast.
That's
it's
great.
It's a really, and it's a lot of mechanics, and it's a career that's always going to be in demand.
Listen, the act of helping people find work is a noble thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I love to see that.
It's a tech school. I went to a trade school for broadcast.
And you learned.
You knew what you wanted to do. Yeah, honestly, yeah. Preston, or would you have preferred to have blown to have a mortgage when you left school?
Right.
You knew exactly what you wanted to do, and you cut to the chase.
But Steve, you had mentioned that that you probably make less than a mom and pop shop as far as mechanics are concerned. And I don't know if that's true or not. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't like because when you said that, I'm like, well,
why would he say that?
Why would he say that? But I don't know if that's listen, my brother.
You're saying you don't know.
I'm saying my brother-in-law is a mechanic. He owns his own garage.
My father was a mechanic. My brother's mechanics. My three cousins are mechanics.
So he's going to make more. He owns, right?
But I almost feel like the bottom line is always the dollar. But when you're not working for a corporation. I feel like that sort of lends itself to maybe make more money as a, when you're working for one person.
There are clearly variables to all of this.
Yeah,
because you can climb the corporate ladder.
Absolutely.
So it's hard to say. Number 18 is a buyer. And it says the buyer is a vague job title and buyers work in many different fields. They most commonly work on behalf of grocers and other wholesalers.
Yes.
Buying produce for resale at stores.
Yeah. Orange futures.
The median annual wage is 62 plus thousand.
Which is still pretty good.
Yeah.
It's higher than the other two that I had mentioned. But the career field is projected to shrink and lose workers by 2026. So
buy, sell.
Yeah. That's part of it.
When I was in high school, I knew for a fact that I did not want to buy anything, sell anything, or process anything.
Right. Sold or processed. Yeah.
According to the BLS outsourcing,
he just wanted to do kickboxing.
And automation of less complex procurement functions will lead to decline in this particular jobs outlook.
Do you think you have even remotely any? Okay, so on this level, you're talking about buying things like, you know, 5 tons of lettuce or whatever, that mm-hmm. that sort of deal. Not like a buying, you know, a media buyer or whatever. It's a different animal, but still, do you have any of the attributes or skills that it would take to be a?
Oh no!
I would die. I would die of starvation, and yep. I would be living in a Whirlpool box.
See, I think of a fashion buyer.
Okay.
You know, and
like Rachel and Friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Number 17 is a truck driver.
Isn't that in the top three professions in the country? Drivers.
Oh, I don't know.
I believe it is.
Median annual wage is $43,680, though the projected job growth for truck drivers is only slightly lower than for the average American job. This career could be at risk of disappearing as companies like Tesla continue to develop autonomous driver technology. So they're looking down the road. They're looking at the future.
At the future. Do you think
that's where tech is going?
Do you think you could at any point? You know, when I was doing stand-up and driving all around the country, there's a certain romantic idea to the, you know, like a long haul trucker.
I physically couldn't do it. After I drive for about 2 hours, I'm just miserable.
Yeah.
I need to get up and move. Oh, and, really? And I hate long road trips. I can't stand them, man.
Would you consider snorting coke?
Might help.
I don't like the idea of driving something that gigantic.
Right.
Well,
right.
It takes a skill. Like, that's definitely a special person that can do that.
When I drove that RV to Jacksonville, I didn't like it.
Do you ever notice
nervous
that the guys that drive trucks, not necessarily semis, but dump trucks, and vehicles like that, they're all huge.
Yeah, I think
they're
you have to be
big guys.
And where is this going exactly?
You can operate the equipment.
I know, but I think they're probably just things that you're pulling out that are heavier.
That's what I'm guessing.
I think they probably hired guys who could probably move this stuff on their own backs, and then say, could you drive it there?
Yeah, they can lift all that mulch if they need to.
What about a school bus driver? Do you think you would feel comfortable behind the wheel of a school bus?
No. Because I would just be so nervous because I have everyone's children on board, and you're worried and you want them to be fine. And
I see women driving that all the time.
Yeah, I'd probably be sitting there in my mind going, shut up. but that's me. So the truck driver is number 17. Number 16 is construction laborer. These are the worst jobs in America, by the way. Median annual wage is $35,000. Construction workers are employed in one of the fastest growing industries in the country. As the American population continues to grow, more and more laborers will be needed to build the growing demand for offices and homes. Workers in this unskilled position are not well compensated, typically earning less than the median of most jobs.
Are we talking sort of like...
And it's physically demanding.
Like on a job site, you're more likely to be an apprentice moving things around. Because when I see buildings going up, like here, the construction workers in this building, what they pull off is amazing. Mm-hmm. I have no, you know, to have like a plan laid out in front of them and they, okay, we'll do that. I'm not smart enough to do that.
And it's also pretty well known that if you're a rookie, you get treated like a rookie.
Right.
I've talked to many guys who worked on job sites, and there's always a whipping boy, and there's always somebody who does the grunt work or gets
coffee
pranked on a lot or gets, you know, crapped on a lot. So I think they don't put that in here, but I'm guessing that might be part of it as well. But it's also dangerous. It's one of the most dangerous jobs. It has the highest illness and injury rates among all occupations.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, we were watching. I mean, there's this pretty cool thing that's being constructed right out in front of our studio windows here. I mean, giant steel beams and all that sort of stuff. And I was watching them like a little kid.
Yeah,
like, I know. I was like,
there was a dude on the beam up here right outside of it. We're on the fourth floor, which is four doesn't sound like that much.
Mm-hmm.
It'll kill you if you
What's
fall
your
from
name,
there.
Little fella?
Yeah. Casey.
I took some video of him yesterday. Yeah. I was fascinated
dude
by it.
Sitting on the beam out. Yeah. Now, he had a safety harness on, but still.
But
he's walking around on this beam.
I was looking at the safety harness that this one guy was wearing, and I was like, if he were to fall, I don't think safety harness.
It wouldn't
harness
be fun.
Well, I was like, I don't think it's in the right spot because if he were to fall, that I don't
was
think
it around his neck.
No, I don't mean spot on his body. I meant spot like on, you know, because there's a
where
huge
it was hooked onto.
Yeah.
Right.
No, listen. You're trying not to die in that case. Doesn't mean you won't get injured. But
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
He had a sticker on his helmet. Local 401. Is that steel?
I don't know. Not sure.
No, you guys are good. Right. I don't know what the hell you're doing out there, but it looks pretty cool.
I'm going to skip through these up to the top 10 because we need to move along. So I'll just mention.
At number 10.
I'll just mention these other ones. Number 15 is a dock worker. Number 14 is a bus driver, Casey, as you had mentioned. 13 is a chef. These are the worst jobs in America. Oh,
however, though, again, if you ascend the ladder and you have the chops, or, you know, if you're a short order cook in a place and whatever, and that's what you love to do, that's great.
But they they bust their ass.
They do, they do. If you end up a top level chef, then you can be wealthy.
But if you're at a diner, different story. Firefighter is number 12. These are professional firefighters.
Obviously very dangerous.
Probably not compensated enough.
So as you're working your way towards number one, that means it's getting to the worst, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Pest control worker is number 11. And it says, the use of the pesticides and stuff like that can be harmful if they're not handled properly.
Or if you eat them.
Or if you eat those pesticides. All right, number 10 is a painter. Physically demanding job. You have to crouch, reach, kneel, and do all that.
Vincent Van Gogh lost an ear.
It can be wear and tear.
That's funny. I know a friend of mine is a painter, and he loves it.
Yeah.
He loves his job.
We have a friend who's a painter as well. He's great.
One of the most zen dudes I ever met was just a house painter who prided himself on the perfection of his painting. Mm-hmm. And he did. He loved it as well.
Most painters make less than $40,000 a year, it says.
Okay. I mean, I have friends who are painters as well, and the thing is, good painting is expensive. You know what I mean? When you have somebody come out and give you a quote for your, and you're like, just for paint?
On the other hand, though, bad painting is very cheap if you're looking to save some money.
But you're like, wow, just for paint. And then you think about it. They're going to literally, do everything. Yeah, every imperfection on every surface is going to be gone and painted over.
That's why they're
so
good.
And that's a lot of work.
By the way, 401 iron workers, 690 plumbers union.
Oh.
And we had people, wanting shout outs. Hey, my husband's out there. Local 252.
252.
It's interesting. There's a whole other subject, but getting fired up about your union has always seemed a little odd to me because we're a union.
Yeah.
But it's a fraternity.
We don't like SAG, baby. Yeah. SAG.
But their unions are a lot more proactive. Not that ours isn't. But
ours is very proactive.
Yeah, but it's like I think what I meant to say is we just don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, no, really. Because that is true, though, because there are people that are very into same like that. Local 401.
Yeah, totally.
I had a friend who was a spy for his union.
Okay.
He was a spy. He would go to non-union places.
And then
recruit people to join his union.
Wow. All right. So now we delve into our business. Okay. The next three worst jobs in America are in our industry.
Really?
Yes. Number 9, advertising salesperson. It says, while the average job is projected growth about 7% from 2016 to 2026, the number of advertising salespeople in the U.S. labor force is projected to decline during that period. Many works in this profession sell space in print media outlets like newspapers and magazines, but as these outlets decline in circulation or go out of business, fewer advertising sales agents will be needed, it says. However, you need salespeople for
everything
online as well.
Everything, broadcast, multimedia, YouTube, streaming, radio, obviously, the whole damn deal. It's always there. And this is not a falsehood, the live and local targeting is still the ultimate way to get your message out.
Number 8 is broadcaster.
But there's another perfect example of it runs the gamut. If depending on where you are and what you're doing, it can be all over the place.
It says it projects there will be 3.2% fewer broadcasters in the U.S. labor force in 2026 than there were in 2016. As ad revenue decreases for radio and television broadcasts, stations will likely not be able to afford to employ as many broadcasters as they once did. But Fortunately, well, yeah, that's, I mean, fortunately, our billing is up. Anyway.
Well, but over at NBC 10, I mean, they, for a few years ago and even more recent, they let go a lot of broadcasters, and the people that are still there are now responsible for more than they were before. So whereas before they had a cameraman, they had website, like now they have to do all that stuff themselves.
Yeah. And a lot of that, those, I think the norm is most cameras operated robotically, right?
I believe
in the,
so.
Yeah, in the studio, there's robotic cameras.
Yeah. Number seven. Disc jockey. Yeah.
There you go.
If you guys had to do it over again, and if you started in a city like Jeff City or wherever.
Yeah, where I began.
Where you began, Preston, would you do anything differently?
No, because I've ended up in the right spot.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Without, you know, there's no, it's hard to reframe it without knowing what you know. My entree into radio was as, now I went to school for communications and TV and film and radio, but my interest in radio didn't come from that. It came from stand-up comedy.
Yeah. Now listen, we are, not to pat ourselves on the back, we're a very, very successful show. We're one of the success stories in the industry. But I think this speaks to, you know, the guy working in Little Rock, Arkansas or something like that, and some jobs are disappearing because they have some companies will consolidate and they will do what's called voice tracking where people in, you know, so there might be somebody in Chicago
who
has a sister station in Little Rock, Arkansas. They don't want to hire somebody because they got this great talent in Chicago. So that guy actually records his show for Little Rock, Arkansas, because you can knock him out in about an hour. You can do a whole show.
You're exactly right.
Well, record and send it down that way.
That's why our union is beneficial.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's why I attend every meeting.
Zach, baby!
Yeah!
Woo! Live and local.
We're here. S-A-G. We're queer. Get used to it.
What he said.
Yeah.
Do we have
a
number or is it just SAG?
It's
number
just SAG.
One.
Yeah.
Screen Actors Guild.
I wonder, though, as far as, you know, because, you know, you go through all these jobs, the worst jobs or whatever, and then I keep thinking, like, well, if you're good at it, then it's not that bad of a gig. So I wonder, what is the best profession to just be mediocre at?
Well, here's the deal. I think your parameters are wrong.
Yeah.
I think what really is, if you enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you enjoy it, I think you will become good at it, and then you ascend. That's the advice I always dole out here to the intern.
Maybe you enjoy it by being mediocre.
Yeah.
You just don't try that hard.
I do nothing, and I love it.
All right.
Look at Homer Simpson.
We got to kind of hurry through these last few. Number six, and I see these people almost every single morning because I live near a prison. I live right by what is. Was Greaterford and now is STI Phoenix.
Prisoners?
Corrections. No, not prisoners.
It's a terrible
pay
career.
Is very low.
It pays so low.
Corrections officers.
Yes.
And, they...
My brother was one for a while.
Yeah. It says, you know, the working conditions are not ideal.
Of course.
That's part of it. And they're probably... It says the budgetary issues will likely contribute to expected 7.7% drop in the number of working corrections officers.
Did they mention prison riots?
Nope. Okay. Number five, enlisted military personnel. They are... It doesn't have anything as far as wages and stuff like that. But it says it may seem unfair to list them among the worst jobs, yet they do face very high stress and one of the most difficult working environments possible, especially those serving in combat zones. And many often earn less than $30,000 a year. So that's one thing to consider. Number four, retail salesperson.
Ugh. Retail salesperson.
God.
I worked in retail for the shortest period of time, and I hated
what
every
store?
Second of it. I worked at Express.
That's right.
In the Oxford Valley Mall. Yeah. And listen, for as much as I love shopping and love retail, working in it was awful.
Were you out on the floor, or were you behind the scenes?
I was out on the floor, and...
I hated every
second of it. And listen, my best friend has made a career out of it. And she, exactly what I did, she loved. And she just took it all in. I mean, she worked her way up from working the floor to the cash register and all the way up to, you know, buying for a company.
Yeah.
And she loved every second of it. But I'm like, we couldn't have been more different because I worked there for one holiday season and couldn't take it anymore.
Kathy, I loved it. I worked at American Eagle and I did the same thing. I worked for just a Christmas break and I loved it. I loved it so much, and they loved me. They were like, hey, do you want to work here, like, all the time? And I was like, oh, my God, I got to go to college. So I kind of can't, you know what I mean?
When I was doing stand-up, I worked in retail. I worked, you know, at a B. Dalton bookstore to get a medical coverage. And, I actually did like it. But I could see, to Kathy's point, work at a store through the Christmas rush and you'll want to die.
No, yeah. I loved it. And it was, but listen, I just talked to people. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And talk to people and I folded clothes. So,
by the way, Casey, here's a good suggestion. Being a mediocre pro quarterback would be great.
Yes.
Says Chase Daniels will be in the NFL forever.
Yeah.
All right. So, number three on this list, these are worst jobs in America. Newspaper reporter.
Yeah, it's a shrinking industry.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. Number two, a logger.
Logger.
Yep.
A lot of death.
Lumberjack.
Yeah.
If you will. Yes. And in fact,
they get hit by trees.
It is the second most dangerous job in America. Uh-huh. There were 55 fatal injuries and 350 non-fatal injuries among loggers in 2017. Since it's such a dangerous job, many companies are looking into automating the process of felling trees by hand.
Great. Robots with axes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Here we go. And then number one on this list of the worst jobs in America, taxi driver.
Taxi driver, really?
Yeah.
Is that umbrella go over like Uber and Lyft as well?
I think it's because of Uber, okay. Uber and Lyft.
Yeah, it says because of the combination of low pay, slow employment growth, high stress, and an undesirable work environment has made taxi driving the worst job in America. Drivers work all hours of the day, sometimes in inclement weather, dealing with traffic jams, potentially unruly and rude passengers. And most taxi drivers earn less than $26,000 per year. Wow.
See, my buddy was a cab driver, and he liked it, and he worked his own hours, and then Uber and Lyft started, and it became worse and worse for him. And
did he jump on that then?
It was one of those, if he can't beat him, join him.
Yeah, I would imagine so. All right, interesting look into employment. Apologize if it gave you a bad taste in your mouth, but there might be a lot of people that are in these particular industries that are actually being very successful, so hang on to that.
Absolutely.
Maybe get out of that dead-end job. Don't know what to tell you, but anyhow.
Try to be a pro quarterback in the NFL if you can.
Honestly, not very demanding.
Yeah.
All right, do we have time to take a break and come back for Fox?
We do.
All right, we're going to do that very thing, but I want to invite some ladies to our sorority party. It's tomorrow night.
Yes.
We're at Parks Casino. You have to be at least 21 years old, and your friend who's going to join you has to be at least 21 years old, too. And we're headed to Parks Casino, 6 to 8 p.m. tomorrow. Sisters and Suds.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be in the beer garden.
It's going to be beautiful.
A lot of great things available. And, of course, we're at one of our favorite places, Parks Casino in Bensalem. 215-263-WMMR. Become a sister of Zeta Eta Pi. We'll take 8 callers, and we will give you those passes. We'll be back in a moment, going live on Fox. And I also have the beef file on the way. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
93.3 WMMR, Rats. It's Preston and Steve. We're going live on Fox. Good day.
Hi, let's Preston do it. Preston and Steve and everybody over there at MMR. I have a question for you.
Yep.
If you found out that your significant other secretly added an adult film channel or channels to your cable plan, Preston, would you be upset that they didn't tell you or that they did it in the first place?
I would high-five my wife, probably, most likely, immediately, right after that.
Yeah.
I would be curious as to why, and if it is to spice things up a little bit in the bedroom. You know, maybe I'd be kind of happy about that, but I don't think I'd get all crazy about it or anything.
Steve?
Well, we don't get charged because I worked within that industry for a long time, and we get a special consideration. Right. So
you get a discount?
Yeah, we get a discount. It's part of that understanding.
Yeah. That was a short stint, though.
Yeah, a short stint. No, I honestly, I agree with Preston. Yeah, that's for that reason, that's cool.
By the way, do we have that ability to get that?
You can get... He's like you can
asking
yes,
for a friend?
Well, you can... Yeah. There's no straight channel that is... But you can order movies that are hardcore.
Man.
Yeah.
Wait, but for the guys, where you guys are like, oh no, I think it'd be cool. What if
the people that she's watching look nothing like you. Wouldn't you be like, wait a minute?
Honestly, I don't want to see people that look like me having sex.
Good point.
No.
I never would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So okay. I would agree with her taste.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. That brings up a whole nother topic. Yeah. Do you, if you are going to order that stuff, no, never mind. I can't even bring it up.
Listen,
you know what I'm saying.
We had we had Bert Kreischer in our studio, great comedian, one time, and he said the thing about pornography is what if you do indeed watch that, whatever you watch is nothing you would don't want to actually participate in real life, most likely.
So that's the point.
So that might be it. It's more of a fantasy thing, and even if you were presented with that in real life, it might not actually be what you're really into.
My pornography would include someone who doesn't appear disappointed with what I'm doing, because that would be the fantasy.
Yeah, that'd be a fantasy, right?
Fantasy. Well, let's go to the expert, Kath.
About time.
Thanks, Mike. You know what? Not a significant other, but a friend of mine spent the night. This was years ago, and I got my cable bill a month later, and it said massive meaty men on it, and I had no idea what it was. It took a little investigating, and he finally admitted that when he stayed over, he ordered it, and slept on my couch.
He ordered massive meaty men?
Massive meaty men. Yes, and you know what? We had the same thought. What was that? But it's
a McDonald's documentary.
It is really a heterosexual.
It's the Ray Kroc story.
Yeah. It is a heterosexual.
Yeah, I guess you feel, I don't know, that like maybe you're projecting yourself into that situation and you are the massive meaty man, you know.
Or men.
Okay. Or men.
Okay.
Alex, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not friends with him anymore.
We're going to have to wrap it on this hump day.
Hey, he had to.
By the way, it's Alex's birthday. Did they tell
you? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Alex. Happy birthday to you.
Thanks, guys. I love you guys.
We love you too. All right, we'll see you later. Bye-bye. All right, there you go. Porn on Fox. Good day this morning.
I wasn't
sure
if I could say the title.
Massive meaty men. I know. Yeah. I'm glad you did.
I think that's, our rules are a little different than TV rules.
It's weird. Well, this is the one segment that when I, you know, like pick kids up from school where, hey, Mr. Fonzbender, I saw you on the news today. Uh-huh. You know, so.
You can say, did you hear Kathy talk about massive meaty men?
Is that when you go, how are things at college, Bill?
Case, flip these two because it is after 8 o'clock and just barely after 8, and I want to make sure that we get this in.
Mighty 3-3 WMMR, Philadelphia.
Fund you too.
Fund you too.
So we got a keyword for you. It's MMR's Fund You Too Nationwide Contest, and the keyword is recent. R-E-C-E-N-T. And you have until 8:15 to enter that via the using text to our special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or you can enter it using the MMR mobile app or the contest page at WMMR.com. You do it that way and you'll be entered for a $10,000 grand prize. So I don't know why you wouldn't want to try it that way. So the word is recent, R-E-C-E-N-T, and we're going to call you if you're randomly selected. You win $1,000, complete contest rules available at WMMR.com. So good luck from A&T, Subaru, and WMMR. Once again, the word recent. Oh, my God.
Was that you?
That was me.
Awesome. That was awesome.
Sometimes I can stifle a burp while still talking.
And that time you couldn't.
That was not one of those times.
But it was beautiful, and it was amazing.
Thank you.
I want to hear it again.
Yeah, you will.
Sure we will. Promise. Let's get a look at you.
Jeez.
I promise you before 9 o'clock you will hear that again.
Let's take a look at traffic, Kathy. What's going on?
There's a lot happening.
It was awesome.
Let that sink in.
All right.
295 northbound between 656 Mantua and Thoroughfare Woodbury, exit 20. We have two lanes that are blocked. There's an overturned vehicle there. We do at least have one lane open now at this point. There's a gaper delay on the southbound side. That's pretty heavy as well. 42 freeway northbound, so it's 41 to 295. 55 northbound jams from Deptford to 42. 309 southbound at the Pennsylvania Turnpike, an accident there in the left lane. Route 1 out in Bucks County southbound at Rock Hill Drive, an accident just cleared from there. 95 northbound, slowing from Chichester Ave to Curlin Street. Cotman to Academy, a disabled vehicle now gone. Southbound is jammed. Cotman through to Girard 420 to the Commodore Barry Bridge. On the Schuylkill Expressway, Eastbound, that's heavy from 202 into Gulf Mills, the Blue Route to Belmont, the Boulevard to the Vine on the westbound side, Passyunk to South Street, the Boulevard to Belmont, and then the Blue Route out to 202. We've got a power outage in the city, North 7th Street between Race and Vine. Traffic lights are not working there because of the power outage. Also, a local Vine being affected by that. This traffic report brought to you by Giant. Giant is expecting competitor supermarket coupons on top of their already low prices. It's just one more way to save big at Giant. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, let's dive into the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre, Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Drexel's LeBeau Online MBA. Drexel's LeBeau Online MBA is designed for the future of business. Visit drexel.edu/onlinemba to learn more. So sometimes I have so many bizarre file stories that I don't get a chance to get to one that was intended for that day. Yesterday, this story was intended and I didn't get to it. But there's been a follow-up, so I'm going to dive right into this. I'm sure you guys have seen it by now. A bar-hopping bunny.
Yes.
Claimed that he was defending a woman when cameras caught him in a downtown Orlando brawl Easter Sunday. Might not be so innocent.
Really?
Turns out the man in the suit, 20-year-old Antoine McDonald, is wanted in New Jersey in connection with a vehicle burglary last fall. He was also recently a person of interest in a carjacking and two armed robberies in Pasco County.
So this guy's had multiple grand larceny.
I don't know if it's grand larceny or what, but yeah, he's a person of interest in one, and he's wanted in connection
That's
with
a bad bunny.
Vehicle burglary. So McDonald could have relished in anonymity. His face and his identity were hidden by the pink nose and the tall ears. It's a full bunny costume.
It's adorable.
But after the video went viral, he spoke to multiple media outlets, including TMZ. He even created the Instagram profile, Bad Bunny of 19.
Idiot.
And he says he's not a violent person. He said, I'm the type of person to avoid fights by any means necessary, but in that situation, I would fight any day.
I just steal cars.
He said that he and a few friends were out for a Sunday fun day. It being Easter, they made the obvious choice to hit the bars while taking turns wearing a bunny costume. He said, I saw him spit on her, and then I saw, you know, like a fight breakout, so I just ran over there.
You son of a bitch!
He said he ran over, not even thinking that he was still in the suit with the hopes of breaking up the fight, but that when that led to the man getting on top of the woman, he started laying onto the man with a few literal rabbit punches. The fight was quickly broken up by Orlando police, but no arrests were made. So this guy has been charged with a couple of counts of robbery, possessing a firearm during the commission of a felony.
Here comes Peter Cottontail to put my foot up your ass.
And some other things. So we'll see if he ends up facing the music in those cases. Doctors in Shenzhen, China, recently performed an emergency endoscopy to remove a 13-centimeter metal spoon from a woman's duodenum.
Duodenum.
Duodenum. You would know this, right?
Yes, I've been having all this crap.
I had not heard of a duodenum before, but it's in your throat.
Yeah.
She accidentally swallowed it while trying to dislodge a fishbone from her throat. The reckless patient, known only as Lily, reported swallowing the stainless steel spoon before the Qingming Festival.
Of course, that's when everyone eats your spoons.
But she didn't bother going to the hospital until 4 days later because she didn't feel any pain in her stomach. So, you know, you just swallow a spoon. Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
I'll just crap it out.
She had apparently tried to use the metal spoon to remove a fishbone. It become lodged in her throat. Accidentally, it slipped and went down her throat.
Why didn't she use like an M80 Preston to get it out of there?
The woman thought it was too much trouble to go to the hospital right before the Qingming Festival.
I don't miss Qingming.
So she went to see a doctor about her problem 4 days afterwards. When she arrived, they ordered an X-ray, saw the large metal spoon stuck in her, how do you say it again?
A duodenum.
Duodenum. As the spoon was in a somewhat horizontal position, the doctor said we carefully had to adjust it before pulling it out vertically. The metal spoon had caused swelling and erosion in the patient's duodenum. But doctors were able to remove it, and following treatment, the woman was discharged and expected to make a full recovery.
If I were her, I would have done this. I would have gone over to where they do the car wrecking, done a handstand, passed the electromagnet over my ass.
There you go. Yeah. Pulled it right out. A 21-year-old construction worker in India miraculously survived after an iron rod pierced through his skull.
Oh!
Senyan Bahe said that he fell down while doing repairs, and that is when the rod pierced his skull from the right temporal region of his brain to the left frontal region. He was taken to the hospital immediately, and the rod was removed without any major damage.
Fortunately, I'm completely fine.
wouldn't even know anything happened to it.
Dr. Pramod Giri.
I feel great.
Bayi's neurosurgeon said, I performed the surgery with all caution so that the damage to the surrounding structures shouldn't happen. Giri added that the rod missed a major vein in his brain by millimeters.
Well, what about the brain itself?
He's now doing fine and being monitored for any post-surgery complications.
You've heard many stories like this, and it just you think there's a lot of meat packed into the human skull. How you end up missing something?
I'm friends with a neurosurgeon. He told me a story recently of a guy who took an axe to the face that got into the brain as well. God. And by all accounts, he's okay.
Wow.
Sometimes it just doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't hit the right spot. So, very interesting. A woman from the United Arab Emirates has regained consciousness after spending 27 years in a vegetative state.
27
yeah.
years.
Munira Abdullah was age 32 and she suffered a traumatic brain injury after a car crash. She was riding, she was hit by a bus. In 1991, but last year, following rehabilitation in Germany, she began to make noises as she tried to call out to her son Omar after hearing him arguing in the hospital room. Days later, she uttered his name for the first time in decades, and now she's able to recite prayers and hold some conversations with her loved ones.
Please tell me David Hasselhoff is still alive.
Omar revealed her miraculous recovery in a new interview with The National, describing how he was flying with joy when she began speaking again. He described how the accident occurred when he was 4 years old and needed to be brought home from kindergarten because there were no buses available.
Wow.
But in April 2017, she was the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi had heard of her case and sent her to Germany where she could get these treatments. She underwent surgeries, repair her muscles while being given medication to improve her sleep patterns. And around a year later, she began making strange sounds and she started coming around.
Yeah, how do you? So
there was a medical treatment that helped her.
You have to do a tremendous amount of stuff to keep the muscles from atrophying completely.
Yeah.
You know?
She's able to call the names of her loved ones now. So that's pretty wild. Okay, follow up to a horrible story. I'm sure that you guys saw, but the woman caught on camera throwing away seven puppies into a dumpster in Coachella, California. She was arrested Monday.
They got her.
On charges of animal cruelty. Yeah, Deborah Sue Colwell was charged with seven counts of felony animal cruelty after allegedly dumping the puppies into a dumpster near an auto parts store.
Just callously throwing them away.
90-degree weather on Thursday, and now the viral video, of course, is out there. She was seen getting out of a white Jeep, throwing out the puppies who were in a sealed plastic bag into the trash, and then quickly driving away. An employee of the store called Animal Services after a passerby discovered the puppies. They said the puppies were about 3 days old and are believed to be terrier mixes, and they're so small they still need to be bottle fed.
They're adorable, by the way.
It's just dumb.
It's so dumb.
It's just dumb. Or it's either dumb or
cruel.
Cruel.
You're just a sick bastard.
Because, I mean, even if you don't like dogs or anything like that,
uh-huh.
it's pretty damn easy to just go drop them off at a shelter
yes.
or a veterinary clinic. So this woman's an idiot.
Glad they got her.
And that is what I have in the B-file for you this morning. All right, we'll take a break. Don't forget, we have a secret text word this morning. Your chance to win tickets to Trevor Noah's Loud and Clear Tour May 3rd at the Met. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. But text the word SECRET to 39333, and you just might win. We'll be back in a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Muse. Tours.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Okay, we're going to have a chance to win some prizes. This is something that I asked to do. It's vanity, folks, because I, not that long ago, was I found like an online quiz
yes.
about Game of Thrones. And it was like, if you can get 16 out of 18, you're an expert. And I'm like, pfft.
I'm a sucker for those. MeTV has those all the time.
I love them.
And I love them.
I went on, and this was about the sigils of the houses of Westeros. And the sigils are essentially, it's a sign. It's your banner yes. for your house. And if you could pick out these, you know, then you're an expert. Well, I did it. No problem. I just missed two. I got 16 out of 18. And one of them, they were wrong about.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, for sure. So I think actually I got 15 out of 16.
So you think your Game of Thrones game is good?
I think so, man, because I rewatched it for a second time. And I did it in a fairly concentrated manner. I started off slow, but over the last month or so, I've been watching episodes every day, at least a half hour of an episode. So I get to watch half an episode each day. And I'm pretty confident in my knowledge. So I asked you guys to come up with a quiz for me about the show. And you, the listener, can call in with a chance to win. You don't even need to know anything about Game of Thrones. Call in. I'll answer a question. You can agree or disagree with me, okay? So don't tune away if you're not into Game of Thrones. 215-263-WMMR. We have a variety of prizes. Steve is going to ask me a question. We had our Game of Thrones experts get together and come up with some questions for me. Nick Murphy, who unfortunately has a really nasty sinus headache and is not here today. Beth Gardner. What's her married name now? I've forgotten.
Gardner.
Lafferty. I've always known her as Gardner. What's that, Kath?
Isn't it Lafferty? Lafferty?
But anyhow, Beth, good friend, is also an aficionado. And she gave me this incredible book a few years ago for Christmas. All about Game of Thrones. And Nick McElwain went through and they found questions and gave them to Steve.
I've only seen like five episodes. My wife is on a tear. She's absorbed in it now. She got way ahead of me and now I'm left in the dust again. But that's another story to talk to our therapist about. But I will say this. People who watch this show, even just in a general way, not with the fandom that you do, seem to know a lot of the minutiae.
Yeah, I think it's the, and this is my humble opinion, I think it's the greatest TV show ever made. It's more than a TV show. It's essentially a movie every week.
And a dessert topic.
It's incredible. So I've gotten to know more of the characters and the locations and things like that as I've watched it in the second viewing. And then let me tell you this, I'm going to watch it again.
Really?
I'm going to watch the whole thing again. I'm not going to do it right away. But I could start again on episode one and be just as interested as I am right now.
Do you want to put a different spin on it? Watch it as a reflection in a mirror, just to give a different angle.
Just a little different.
So it just looks different.
Well, this time around, I've done it as exclusively as my exercise program because I have an elliptical machine at home. If you have a piece of exercise equipment and you want to force yourself to use it every day, find a show that's got tons of episodes and has a continuing story, and force yourself or make a deal with yourself that you will only watch it while exercising.
It's a great idea. Honestly,
I bet you you'll stick with it. It's done it for me.
That's how I booked through Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of seasons I got caught up, and to look forward to that also times out right, especially if you're dealing with like a cable show. You're going to get about 50 minutes an hour, I guess, on average, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I do it for my exclusively for my cardio. I watch Game of Thrones.
Preston, if I can make a suggestion on how you should play this game, I think you should follow the Mark Summers the way he does it.
If I don't know the answer, sound like I'm giving a confident answer.
Yes.
I don't know if I can do that or
play it the way that feels comfortable.
I will try.
Casey, you watch, yes?
I do. The only reason I say that is because it's not like we have a ton of prizes to give away, so I don't want to just be giving away things willy-nilly.
Well, I've been told these questions are pretty difficult.
Yeah.
Kathy and Marissa, do you watch the...
No.
I may be really embarrassed by this, and I may be overstepping my bounds by saying that I know a fair amount. I have read the books, too, so...
Right. This isn't going to be like Tron.
This is all from the show. I don't quote it.
Yeah.
All right?
We're very impressed by that.
Steve, I've watched every single episode, but I'm not... really keen on all the little minutia stuff like that Preston is, and
gotcha.
I don't remember everybody's names and all that. I just, you know, when I'm watching, I'm like, okay, I understand the tone and tenor of everything going on.
Did we say that these are from the TV show and not the books at all?
Yes.
From the TV show exclusively, Nick. I know you oversaw this. I hope you're confident with my asking these questions here. They look like they're, for me, not knowing 99% of this, they look pretty good, and some are formidable, and some look like they're gimmies.
All right, Press, do you want any like other music besides this?
I don't care. I love this theme.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a really cool version that's done. Benioff, one of the showrunners, got Nuno Bettencourt, the guitarist, and Tom Morello, and I forgot another really famous guitarist together, and they did a version of it. It's great. Okay, I'm ready. You ready?
Yeah.
Let me get a caller on the line. I have Dave. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Yeah, buddy. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Well, my wife watches it. I kind of watch it out of the corner of my eye.
Okay, all right. It's all good. Like I said, you don't even need to. You just got to agree or disagree with me. All right, Steve.
All right, we're going to go with the first question in the order here. Everything looks pretty well laid out.
All right.
A common misconception is that House Lannister's motto is a Lannister always pays his debts.
Right.
What is the actual motto of House Lannister?
Pretty sure it's hear me roar.
All right.
Dave, you agree or disagree?
I agree.
That is right! Yeah.
There you go. They do say a Lannister always pays their debts, but that's not the official slogan of the house.
All right.
All right, so what do we got for him?
All right, Dave, for you, we have a case of Yards Pink. Yards Brewing Company has been crafting quality ales right here in Philly since 1994, like Pink, a sparkling tartanberry ale, now available year-round in bottles and cans. You can find Yards Pink at Canals Discount Liquors in Mount Ephraim, or Ephraim, however you say it.
By the way, I'm wearing my House Stark shirt today, with the Stark sigil on here. And I posted a picture of me a little while back wearing the House Greyjoy shirt with a sigil. And, like, people actually got mad at me on social media.
Why?
Because it's not really a favorable house on the show. Mm. I just think it's a cool-looking logo. I also have a Lannister shirt. How dare
you
me?
Bastard. You bastard. Son of a bitch.
Moving along.
All right.
Let me get another caller. It is Bob. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Bob, you just started watching Game of Thrones, right?
I did. I watched the first two episodes. So
all right.
Relying on your kindness.
All you got to do is agree or disagree. Here we go. Next question.
All right. Who has been married more times? I believe it's pronounced Marguerite or Marjorie. Marjorie Tyrell or Sansa Stark? Who has been married more times? Marjorie Tyrell or Sansa Stark?
Okay. Well, it depends on your definition of married, because in Westeros, if you haven't consummated the marriage, technically it doesn't really count.
All right.
So I am going to say married more times because Marjorie married Joffrey, and she also married Tommen. Sansa married Tyrion, and she also married Peter Baelish, kind of, sort of. Or no. She married Ramsay. I'm going to say Marjorie Tyrell.
And then Bob's got it.
Bob, do you agree or disagree?
I'm going to have to agree.
Okay.
That is correct!
Yes!
Marjorie says it's listed here as having married Renly Baratheon.
That's right. She married Renly, too.
Joffrey Baratheon.
But Renly's gay.
Tommen Baratheon. While as Sansa married Tyrion Lannister.
Tyrion,
and Ramsay Bolton.
Correct. All right. It means you win, Bob. Hang on.
Bob, check this out. You have won a table for mom and up to seven guests for a special Mother's Day brunch with Godshall's Turkey Bacon, hosted by myself and Jackie Bam Bam. It's going to be Sunday, May 12th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Mummers Museum, and this includes a tour of the museum, crafts for the kids, flowers for mom, all of that stuff. And if anybody else is interested in winning a table for you and your mother and everybody, you can go to WMMR.com, keyword Godshalls.
All right, let me go next to Kyle. Hey, Kyle, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Kyle, you watch the show, right?
Yeah, I'm halfway through season 3.
All right, might have an edge here with the agree or disagree. Steve, what's the next question?
All right, I'm going to skip that one. Well, let's go with this.
Yahoo.
All right.
And don't worry about the mispronunciation.
No problem.
The names and places are spelled very straight.
All right. The Mad King had three children. What were their names?
Jesus, all three of them?
The Mad King had three children. What were their names?
Rhaegar, Daenerys, and Viserys. Do you agree or disagree, Kyle?
What was that again?
Rhaegar, Daenerys, and Viserys. Those are the three kids that the Mad King, who, by the way, was Aerys Targaryen.
I will agree.
You agree? Okay, you agree.
All right. That answer is correct!
Thank you.
There you go.
100% so far. What
peanut
does Kyle
butter.
Get?
Peanut butter. All right, you got a pair of tickets to see Aziz Ansari May 14th at the Met Philadelphia. Tickets are on sale this Friday.
I got it.
All right, sorry.
Go ahead.
And tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. com.
Why is the music not working?
The hell's going on with this crap?
Oh, I got it.
All right, next caller. Let's go to, is this Eddie or Edie?
It's Edie.
Hi, Edie. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So you've watched the entire series twice like me?
I have.
I love you.
All right,
you.
So you're going to know this a little bit better.
Edie. All right, here's my question.
All right, here's the question for Preston. It is 6 direwolves were given to the Stark children.
I know all their names.
Name 4 of them. If you want to name all 6, go ahead.
I'll tell you all of them. Okay, so you have Ghost, you have Grey Wind, you have Shaggy Dog, Summer, Nymeria, and Lady.
All right, we got to go to Edie to agree or disagree.
You agree or disagree, Edie?
He's absolutely right.
Damn right.
That is right!
Nice job, Edie. What do we got for?
All right, Edie, we got a case of Yards Pink. Yards Brewing Company has been crafting quality ales right here in Philly since 1994. Like Pink, a sparkling tart berry ale, now available year-round in bottles and cans. You can find Yards Pink at Roger Wilco in Pennsauken.
See, some of the younger kids named them like Shaggy Dog and Summer.
Scooby-Doo.
And Scooby. You can tell the older ones were not Nightmare. That was that was Arya that named it, but Grey Wind and Ghost were named by the older members of the family.
All right, cool.
Now, yeah. Preston, name 2 of the interns in the other room.
Shut up.
Gabby.
Yeah.
And Ben.
Yeah.
Thank you. You're on a roll here. All right, let's go to our next caller for our next question.
All right, it is, I'm going to go to Darren. Hey, Darren, good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? All right, Darren, you've never seen it. Doesn't matter, right?
I agree.
Let's try it out. Next question.
All right. What was the name of Stannis Baratheon's attack on King's Landing?
The Battle of Blackwater Bay. And Darren, do you agree or disagree?
Abso-freaking-tootly agree, Preston.
There you go.
That answer is correct!
All right. Wow. Means you win. Hang on, Darren.
All right, Darren, you have won our final case of Yards Pink. Yards Brewing Company has been crafting quality ales right here in Philly since 1994. Like Pink, a sparkling tart berry ale, now available year-round in bottles and cans. And you can find Yards Pink at the Yards Brewery and Restaurant at 5th and Spring Garden Streets.
I feel very satisfied right now.
Yes?
Yes.
I see your pants are down.
All right, let me go next to listener Derek. Hi, Derek. Good morning.
Hey, Grandma.
Hey, Grandma.
All right, so you're watching. You're on season 6 right now?
I am.
You enjoying it?
Very much. I can't wait to catch up.
All right, excellent. All right, let's try me out. What you got, Steve?
All right, our next question. Thakhar? Is that how it's pronounced? Morghulis?
Vhagar Morghulis.
Vhagar Morghulis is a Valyrian phrase meaning all men must die. Mm-hmm. What is the common response and what does it translate to?
You got to one that I ought to know, but the pronunciation of it is so strange.
Ballpark with translation will give you a correct.
All men must die.
It's a Vhagar Morghulis.
Yeah.
It's a Valyrian phrase meaning Vhagar all men must die.
Yeah. Damn it! Just after I said how confident I feel. So you just want the translation if I can't get the...
Listen, what is the common response and what does it translate to? Give me the translation of the response. It will give you a...
It means, essentially, make sure you brush your teeth. Derek, do you agree or disagree?
I would disagree, sir.
Okay, Steve.
Yes, that is wrong.
I forgot that. Yeah. I can't believe I don't know that one. It's a standard.
Valar... Dohoris.
Valar Dohoris, okay.
Which means all men must serve.
Oh,
I thought it was Sayedal on Kong Kong.
Sayedal on Kong Kong.
Yeah.
Which means finger blast Nell.
Yep. Sorry, I'm... but Derek wins.
Congratulations, yeah. Derek, on that gimme win for you. You have a pair of tickets to see Aziz Ansari May 14th at the Met Philadelphia. Tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com.
All right, Valar Morghulis, and what is the response? Valar what?
Valar Dohoris.
Dohoris.
All men must serve.
All right, we have like one prize left.
One prize left.
Yeah, because Preston's so damn good at this.
I'll chuck a few at you, afterwards if you want.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All right, Ryan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, it says here you only watch when your girlfriend has it on TV.
Yeah.
All right. That's all right. Dare didn't watch it all, and he won, okay?
Yeah. And Preston's record has been pretty good here. So, all right. All right. There's some mother effer names on this.
I know.
Daenerys Stormborn.
Yes.
Of House Targaryen. The first of her name, Queen of the Andals and the First Men.
Yes.
Protector of the Seven Kingdoms, the Khaleesi of the Great Sea,
yeah.
The Unburnt, the Breaker of Chains, correct. And the Mother of Dragons had three dragons.
Yes.
What are the names of her remaining dragons?
Her remaining dragons?
Yes.
Vakaris and...
Jakar Nuarez.
And High Karateas.
Jakarez, Viserion is the one who died. And then the other one was named after not Drogo.
I'm going to give you that
sentence. Named after Rhaegar. So it's, I think it's Rhaegaris. Jakarez and Rhaegarin or Rhaegaris.
All right. That's up to our caller to agree with or disagree.
You agree or disagree, Ryan?
I agree.
All right. I have Drogon and Rhaegal.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
So she just says Dracarys to make him shoot fire, but his name is Drogo?
So that would be incorrect.
Son of a bitch.
All right. That All is right. a mouthful of crap.
Sorry, Ryan.
Yeah, Dracarys is the command.
See, I always thought it was his name.
No, that's the command to breathe the fire out.
To put on the Dracar.
Yeah, I love it when she says that.
You smell kind of
Dracarys.
Bad.
Dracarys.
Yeah. X-body spray. Ho!
Javon Muscus.
Now I'm embarrassed. After I was all confident, I missed two in a row.
Jupe, there it is.
All right, let's get another call.
I want your bod.
All right, I got Mike. Hey, Mike.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, they're testing me. You ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
This is a little bit sort of a hybrid question, but it does, I think you would know this. Emilia Clarke and Lena Headey played the same character in an iconic sci-fi franchise. Name the character.
I'm not answering that. It has nothing to do with Game of Thrones.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Nope. All right. Take a guess.
In a sci-fi series?
Yeah.
And they play the same character? I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Sarah Connor.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
That's why I saved that one for last.
I call no fair.
Let's go.
I call no fair, too.
Okay. No fair. No, they are.
I agree. No fair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
You win. Here is a question for you. Preston, who is the father of Gilly's baby? Who is the father?
Oh, yeah. Craster.
Okay.
Craster. Mike, do you agree or disagree?
I agree.
Yeah.
That is correct. Right. Who the hell is Gilly?
Gilly is Samwell's kind of a partner right now. She's the girl who's, she was a wildling. She had a baby. Craster was her father. He had incestual relationships with all his daughters, and whenever it was a male son, he'd send it out to the White Walkers to be killed.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. What's we got for Mike?
All right, Mike, you have our final pair of tickets to see Aziz Ansari.
Wow.
It is May 14th at the Met Philadelphia. Tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com.
All right, and that's our last prize, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you want to throw a couple questions
at me just for fun?
And by the way, I love the actress who plays Gilly. Sometimes, you know, the cast, there's a lot of beautiful people in the cast.
Yeah, yeah.
But they also pick out some very average-looking people as well to kind of fill out as the non-nobles.
Right.
And she's one of those, and she's great. She just has this kind of very average look about her, and she's great on the show.
You are so average.
Yes. It's right. True.
It's true. Who is Lord Commander of the Kingsguard at the beginning of the show?
Lord Commander of the Kingsguard. That would be Sir Barristan Selmy.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Mm. All right. What were Lyanna Stark's final words to her brother?
The final words.
Lyanna Stark's final words to her brother. Well, she first says, is that Drakkar?
No. I think she says he'll kill him. Because she's talking about the baby and Robert Baratheon, her to-be husband, is going to kill this baby because it was born from someone else was the father. But I think that's what it was.
It says here, promise me.
Oh.
Promise me.
Promise me.
Promise me. Mm-hmm.
I am Weston of Westeros. Weston of Westeros.
Bill Westeros.
Yeah, Bill Westeros.
Oh, I love it.
All right.
Yeah, you don't have to get music on.
Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we're gonna knock through a couple of these. What's the motto of House Greyjoy?
What is dead can never die.
We do not sow.
What?
That's what it says right here.
We do not what?
What's the motto of House Greyjoy? We do not sow. S-O-W.
I've never heard that uttered one time on the show.
I heard them.
They always say what is dead can never die.
They said, so very old one, so like the wind.
So like the wind.
Yes.
All right. Okay. What deity do Iron Islanders worship?
Wow. What deity? Oh, the drowned god.
That is right.
There you go.
All right. Let's throw a couple.
We could save these for another time. If
you want one more?
Yeah.
Let's
one of
us. One. All right. I don't want this one that much too easy. Even I know that. Let's go with this.
Do you have any location ones? Well, I guess that last... Well, no, it wasn't. I studied all the locations.
All the locations. Yeah.
You studied?
All right. Well, I looked up some info. I already knew it.
All right.
Don't worry about it. Just asking.
How many streets are there in Rutledge?
Nine. I can't high five you. My shoulder hurts. Sorry.
What last name... What last name is given to bastards born in Dorne?
Sand.
There you go. Yep.
Done deal.
Wow.
Not bad, right?
No, not bad at all.
Okay.
Are you happy with the questions?
I am.
That's Nick McElwain, Nick Murphy, and Beth.
They're legitimate. I'm a little, that was stupid of me not knowing the names of the dragons. It's a big part. Not knowing the final words of Lyanna Stark is a little... That is a little super, super detailed.
Doesn't she fart, too? Isn't that the last thing?
Well, that's usually everybody's final act. Is
promise me. So
what was that? The sound of a dragon sigh.
Wait a minute. What are these texts coming in? Preston, you suck. Preston is terrible at this.
What?
How many of those did I miss? Three? Maybe?
You got the vast majority.
Come on.
All right. Get, who's that texter?
Get rid of those text boards.
Yeah, there's two of them that texted in and said that. I thought I did pretty damn good.
You did very well.
All right. Anyway.
Red best.
I didn't know the dragons. That was dumb, and I didn't know Valar Morghulis, the response. Those are the two things that were not quite gimmies, but I, as a big, big fan, should have known
that. So, Nick McElwain, there were some intricate questions here that he got right. I think that was kind of an impressive display, yes?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he did really well. And tell me how many of the books you've read, Preston?
I've read all but The Dance of Dragons.
Okay.
So I've read, what is that, five?
And do you think that your knowledge of the books helps with your knowledge of the television show, or does it interfere with it?
I read them so long ago that I haven't really, I don't. Remember all the plot points.
Did you read How Tyrion Got His Groove Back?
No.
Okay. That's a good one.
There are some pretty interesting things, like Catelyn Stark comes back to life.
Yes.
In the books.
Yeah. Some diehard fans of the books are disappointed in the TV show because she's been not a part of the TV show for a while.
I was reading, I've read my share of articles on you know, I stay, even though I'm not watching, I stay peripherally aware of what's going on, and more than one critic has said, and a fan of both the books and the TV show, say that they are very happy with what the TV show has done in fleshing everything out, and that in many ways there are little intricate improvements.
Listen, yeah, there are things that are cooler, yeah.
I love the Harry Potter universe, and I love the books, and I love the movies, and you can love both of them separately and just appreciate for them, you know, for both of what they are.
I was hoping you were going to ask me to name the Valyrian House swords.
I think that was on there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because okay, I know, well, not the Valyrian, but the swords of the houses that, you know, like you have Oathkeeper and Longclaw and Heart's Bane and Widow's Wail and Ice. I know all those.
What are the two things that can destroy a White Walker?
I know. Valyrian Steel and Casey.
And Dragonglass.
Dragonglass.
Yeah. Hey, I knew that one. Yay. Hey.
All right, here's one for you.
All right.
Where does Caldivore keep his Theraflu?
No.
No, I just made that.
In the medicine cabinet, of course.
I like Caldivore, though.
Yeah. Caldivore.
Theraflu does kind of play right into that. Hang on, Nick Murphy was listening, and he texted, "You did amazing. Nice work, dude. I made some very tough, and you got them."
There you go.
Thank you, Nick Murphy.
Yeah, I would like to do the same thing, because I read the books and watched all the episodes.
With different strokes.
No, that was my joke, was small wonder, but anyway.
Could you do
same
it?
Same idea. No, God, no.
Could you, the Marvel... Once we get past Endgame, do you want to take a crack at it?
Yeah, because you just rewatched every single movie.
Yeah, I know, but maybe.
All right, complete this name. Iron
Maiden.
God damn it! You were so close.
Yeah.
It does begin with an M.
It does. All right, we should take a break.
Yes.
Let's do that very thing. We'll come back in just a moment or two. Don't forget secret text word. Trevor Noah coming to the Met. Text word secret 39333. We'll be back in a moment.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
A couple of stories that I saw that were worth bringing up at some point today is what I want to get to. You know, I kind of noticed these.
You did notice these.
In case he stepped out.
He stepped out. He didn't notice you were going to go to the noticer.
I don't think I have.
Do you have the proper noticing attributes to enhance the noticer experience?
No, I don't know where it is.
Oh, man.
He's coming back
here
in.
Here comes Casey. Yeah, just noticed that he heard you talking about the noticer.
Sorry about that.
No, it's my fault.
It's Casey's fault.
I noticed something that I forgot before the break.
You're the forgetter.
Yeah.
So this was an interesting story. You ever notice that you come back from having your car parked out on the street and there's a big chalk mark on your tire?
Yes.
That is from the parking authority.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. And that's how they keep track of how long you've been parked there. In fact, I'm not exactly sure exactly how that system works.
Neither. I think what they do is they...
If they go by color or
I think it would have to be color, right? At what time they put the mark on?
I think it's wear on the tire.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was wear on the tire, Kat.
Oh, if it moves or not.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting
thing. I've seen them do it.
Yeah?
It's a little stick with a nub of chalk on the end of it, and there's a photo of it up in the studio, and they just usually do it right near the top. Yeah. And I've gotten tickets as a result.
So how are they remembering where the mark is?
Yeah, so like is the mark
same place in the tire every time.
Same place. All right. So but what if I park at, 6 o'clock and the car next to me parked at 7 o'clock? Is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, like, is there a mark on the? So that's what they should do.
We might not have to worry about it anymore.
Oh, really?
Yes, okay. Because apparently the people that have been marking your car have been violating the Constitution, according to a federal appeals court panel.
How about that? When I saw this, I was like, wow. I didn't realize they'd gone that far up the chain.
A 3-judge panel of the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati reinstated a 2017 case brought by Allison Taylor, who was issued 15 parking tickets in 3 years in Saginaw, Michigan, by the same parking enforcement officer who's described in the suit as the city's, quote, most prolific issuer of parking tickets. So Taylor argued that marking tires with chalk constituted an unreasonable search under the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution.
What?
But a U.S. district judge in Michigan dismissed the suit in 2017, writing that even if chalking a tire is a search, it's a reasonable one because a piece of chalk isn't an information-gathering device that could violate Taylor's privacy, say, like a GPS tracker, for example.
Right, right.
Two of the three members of the appeals panel on Monday agreed that chalking a tire is a search, but they disagreed that it was a reasonable search. A U.S. Circuit Judge Bernice Bowie Donald wrote that when drivers pull into parking spaces, the city commences its search on vehicles that are parked legally without probable cause or even with so much as individualized suspicion of wrongdoing, the touchstone of the reasonableness standard. Moreover, overstating your welcome at a parking space doesn't cause injury or ongoing harm to the community, she wrote, meaning the city is wrong to argue that parking enforcement is part of its community caretaking responsibility, potentially justifying a search without a warrant.
That's interesting.
Okay.
So by the very act of parking and them chalking your tire, they're saying you are now under
surveillance.
Surveillance.
Yeah.
I guess so.
How about
also,
you just...
just another thing. Just the act of putting chalk on the tire. What if you have, like, you know...
Impeccable tires.
Oh my God.
Well, how about this? Tires. Just put a parking meter there and then, you know, all bets are off.
Or
and,
spray paint on the side of the car what time it was parked there.
So just a couple of weeks ago...
12:35.
There you go.
Just a couple of weeks ago, and I don't want to say where I was because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I was parking somewhere that was timed parking. You can only be there for 2 hours, and I was going to be at said establishment for at least 3 hours.
All right.
So after about 2 hours, I came, and the worst part is, like, as soon as I parked, the parking guy was there. So I'm like, oh, man, this guy knows exactly what time I got here. So I can't even, I can't even fake it a little.
Bo-esome.
So 2 hours later, I came back out to my car, and there they were, checking the chalk on the tires. And so I said to the guy, I go, hey, if I pull all the way out of this spot and then back into my spot again, I go, do I get an additional 2 hours? He goes, you're pulling all the way out? And I'm like, yep. He goes, well, I didn't see anything, you know. So that's what happened. I pulled all the way out.
But I think that would require a conversation. Like, I think if you had just done that on your own and then use that as an excuse, you'd get the ticket.
But, and he was there to validate that you left the spot and came back.
But the point that I wanted to bring up was that the chalk on my tires, just from, you know, pulling out and up, I don't even know, like 20 yards or whatever, and then pulling back, chalk was off my tires.
It just wore off
that
quickly?
Tires. Yeah.
All right.
It was pretty crazy.
It's useless then.
You could also... You know, once they chalk your tires, just go out and wash the chalk off.
Always keep a little thing, you know, wash my tires. Mm-hmm.
Keep some Armor-All on you.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Well, I always got busy.
Shine it up.
Yeah.
In fact, this justice wrote that there has been a trespass in this case because the city made intentional physical contact with Taylor's vehicle. When Saginaw is in, while they are entitled to regulate public parking, the manner in which it chooses to do so is not without constitutional limitation, according to this judge. I found that very interesting. I'm sure a lawyer sat and came up with that that particular idea and that strategy.
Well, yeah, have you now? I now very frequently use the app on my phone for parking. You know, you pull in and you have the parking meters there.
I've never used it.
I use it constantly.
Yeah,
and it works very well, actually. You know, so you pop it on. You end up, I think, in the long run, the city probably ends up making more money because I'll put in a couple of minutes. I can terminate it. You know, at the point you get back in the car, I just forget to do it.
Hang on. So you can pay through your app?
Yep.
All right. Then how do you get the little ticket that you put in the window?
So they go by, and I guess they hop on the app, and your tag is in the system. So they can call up your tag, and then they can see that you are currently on the app,
that.
And you've paid for your deal. So whenever you see, look at the meters, look for... You know, look for that little number and the app. The app is on it, and it's.
What do you mean that little number?
There's like a number. It'll be like 972-308, and that's that zone. That's that zone where you park it.
Oh, and you enter it.
You enter that, okay. and more often than not, it will recognize where you are. You know, so this is the app. It says meter up, and so right there it'll show where you are, and it'll give you the closest numbers on those. That's the sign up there, Preston, on the screen. And it's very easy.
Yeah, I think Wildwood has something similar to that. I mean, and essentially that's why they have the free beaches, because they have all that metered parking. And I may be wrong in stating this, but I thought there was also a fee that you could pay there that would pay for your meters for the entire season. So you'd pay like, I don't even know, like $200 or something like that. And
I would hope more beach towns offer that, because I've gotten the ticket in Dewey, and we've talked about this in the past, but Dewey parking, they are... so in control and so clamped down that if you are a minute over or you're parking in a spot where you shouldn't be, you will get a ticket and often get towed.
Wow.
And that towing fee is $300 cash.
Yeah.
You're not getting your car out of the lot unless you bring in $300 in cash to where they've towed your car.
There are some places that are really, really militant about it.
Yeah, and Dewey Beach is one of them.
Let me go to Brian. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. What's up, bud?
Just talking about how when they put the chalk on there, I see it a lot down in Wilmington, where they'll put the chalk on the tire and then they'll put it the same spot on the ground so they can see if you've moved your car at all.
Oh, so they match up. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So
they match up.
I got you.
They also do it at bars as well. And then they'll pull you over. They'll see that chalk mark on your tire and they'll pull you over and say, oh, how was your night out at the bar? And then they'll pull you out and do the whole test there.
Can they put chalk on you?
just to see.
That one at the bars, that one seems like it might be a little violation of your rights as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, they stopped doing that in Pennsylvania now. So about a year or two ago, when they stopped that.
What yeah, do at the bars? There's a presumption.
They'll mark your car and with chalk if you're parked outside of a bar. So they will use that as an indication as to whether or not you've been drinking, which makes sense. However, it's in my opinion, maybe a violation of your civil rights because you could be in the bar as a DD or whatever, or just be in the bar and not drinking.
Or you may not even be in the bar.
No,
you may just be parking in front of the bar and going to that wonderful little dry cleaner down the block.
Yes,
Nick.
Everybody likes that dry cleaner.
Yeah.
They offer alcohol, but
interesting, and I'm wondering if this will spread nationally, and you won't be they won't be able to use the chalk anymore.
Yeah, I'm sort of down with that. I don't want them drawing on my car.
Yeah. Another story that I noticed this morning.
More for the noticer.
Yeah, this one's really interesting.
This one's good.
A Florida judge has issued a new order establishing criteria that must be met before prosecutors in the state can release to the public video evidence related to the prostitution case involving New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft.
This is...
essentially, the video is going to come out eventually.
They believe so?
Will you watch
it? Yeah. Yeah, there's certain criteria, and if the criteria is met, it's going to be out.
I mean, if you actually get to see an eruption, but if it's under a blanket, you know.
No, I would imagine that they will, any offensive parts of it, they will censor.
I would zoom in.
Police prosecutors have said the video shows the 77-year-old Kraft paying for and receiving two sex acts on consecutive days in January at Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter, Florida. He's pleaded not guilty to the misdemeanor charge in the case. But last week, the judge agreed to temporarily delay the release of video. But the ruling Tuesday from Judge Leonard Hanser extends that delay until four criteria are met. And they are, A, the judge rules, the trial juries being sworn in each case. B, the case is resolving by plea agreement. C, the state no longer pursuing the charges against the defendant. Or D, at any other time at which the court finds the fair trial rights of defendants are not at risk after notice to the parties and hearing thereon, which means...
after the case is resolved.
When it's done, or after the juries have been sworn in, they can release it. And even if there's a plea agreement, the video is going to come out.
All right. So does that mean they do this with, like, all... similar cases or just high profile ones?
Well, evidence in these cases, a lot of times this stuff is you can, the public can view this, you know,
especially in Florida.
In Florida. So in this case, however, they're going back and forth. There have been a couple of inaccuracies about this story, from what I understand, that the staff was basically slave labor kept there was actually not fully correct. Or not even remotely correct. Now, I don't know if it is correct, but they're going back and forth on that. So they're, I think any way that his lawyers can gum this up and try to keep this footage from being released, it's a 77-year-old dude getting a handy.
Mm-hmm.
Two handies.
Yep.
Or
a mouthy.
Or a mouthy. Yep. Not a buddy.
No.
Just well,
a,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know.
But what about it?
You know, a lot of times it's, listen, if it's really good, and hot, then maybe. But otherwise, I don't know if it's something I'm going to, you know, really make a beat a path, no pun intended, to see.
No, but I would. This dude's a billionaire.
Yeah.
He's a football team owner. And he's, you know, he claims to be, you know, I guess a great human being. And, you know, he's out doing this. I want to see that. Absolutely. The judge's criteria are intended to protect the defendant's rights to fair trials, but does mean the videos will eventually be released, even if the defendants reach a plea deal.
Pay-per-view?
Kraft's attorneys have argued that the release of the videos would potentially represent an infringement of the billionaire's rights.
Uh-huh.
So they're working on that.
How this all came to be anyway is staggering. That not one person who you assume he has handlers, no pun intended, said, hey,
why don't we get somebody to go to your hotel room?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to get someone who's in this line of work that is their whole thing is discretion. Yeah.
Maybe this
as opposed
easier
to a strip mall.
Yeah, and maybe he just liked this place and it was easy. I mean, he's a 77-year-old widower.
Yeah.
And I, honestly, I don't care. You know, if you're 77 and you're single and you want to go get a handy at a strip mall, go for it.
Yeah. So what is the crime is simply the act of getting the...
Yeah, paying for sex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Paying for sex. It's illegal in
right.
Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
He can go to Vegas and do that all year. Or Nevada.
Why didn't he go to Vegas?
Why didn't he go to Vegas? He can afford it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, here's another story. This is a heartwarming story.
An old man getting a hand job.
A Wichita church took on a special task this Easter season and paid off medical debt for thousands of people in Kansas.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Pathway Church said that it took some of the money it uses to help those suffering financial hardships and some of the money used to promote its Easter services, and it used those funds to pay off. They paid off $2.2 million in medical.
How amazing.
For residents of Kansas who fell into the hardship category. Isn't that great?
How did they get the, was all from donations?
They worked with a place called RIP Medical Debt to target the 1,600 affected, 500 in the Wichita area. RIP purchases medical debt for pennies on the dollar. Therefore, one penny can pay off a dollar of debt. A dollar can pay off 100, and 100 can pay off 10,000, they said. So I don't know how they pull that off, but they do it.
Okay.
The church said instead of receiving a flyer in the mail to invite them to Easter services, more than 1,000 Kansasans received a note that read, "We're Pathway Church. We may never meet you, but as an act of kindness in the name of Jesus, your debt has been forgiven." And they sent them out. So, yeah, Steve, I guess they just did it from their own donations or whatever they've had that the church owns.
So that's amazing.
I thought that was a nice feel-good story and something really cool that they decided to do, to just pay off people they don't know and pay off their medical debts.
Would they be one of Preston's heroes?
They'd be a Preston's
hero. Wow.
For sure. Do we have a heroic music of some sort?
I do. I'm just going to have to give me a second.
You should use the Game of Thrones thing.
Yeah, right. Here you
go. Oh, my God. Preston's Heroes.
Preston's Heroes.
Yeah.
People making the world a better place. Today we celebrate this church that paid off medical debt.
Pathway Church.
What about that Pathway hero you church. Tweeted about? There's another hero there.
Yeah, I don't tweet often at all.
But when you do.
But I saw a story this morning that I had to share. It was really cool. This is in Alabama. This group of guys, they look like they're maybe in their 20s or something like that. Okay. I think they're at a restaurant.
Yeah.
And they see an elderly woman eating by herself. And one of the guys is like, in fact, pull up their names here, Nick. It's Jamiro Howard and his friends, J. Michael Barker and Tay Knight, went for a meal at a restaurant. And Howard noticed a woman sitting alone. He said, "My thoughts were, dang, I'd hate to have to eat alone." And then he thought about the situation. He went over to the woman and asked if he could sit with her for a while. We talked for a minute. And while talking to her, he said she told me that she lost her husband and that tomorrow would have been their 60th anniversary.
Aww.
So I instantly gave my condolences and then asked her to come eat with us. And they sat down and they had a great time. And he had said, "This woman changed my outlook on life and how I look at other people."
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was a really cool little simple act of kindness.
And she lent them her last $20
for gas.
For gas.
That was nice.
No, that's, and there's a beautiful picture of them sitting at the table. And here's the one. So, you know, she's a day away from the 60th anniversary of her husband who passed away.
Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty sweet.
Sometimes, you know, nice just one. Simple little gestures.
Yep. Casey picks up tabs for meals from time to time.
Yeah,
you see somebody by themselves.
And, you know, when I see old people sitting by themselves, listen, when I'm eating by myself, don't worry about me. I'm good.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. That is an absolute choice, and it's a pleasure. But when I see that, like, it sort of breaks my heart because I start to, like, tell myself stories.
You tell yourself a story.
Right?
Unless they're the same as you and they just want to eat alone.
And that might be the case. So I don't ask them to sit with me or anything like that, but I will anonymously.
Why don't you come back to my hotel?
I'll anonymously pay for their meal.
I tried to do that with some police officers the other day, and they refused. And then I felt like a jerk afterwards. Like,
what?
I didn't want them to think I was bribing them or anything like that.
Oh, like, you know? A pre-bribe?
Yeah.
I just gave them the big wink. You were like, "Hey."
Yeah.
Right?
And then the this side. Yeah.
Then your tongue and your cheek.
Right. Blah, yeah. Blah,
blah. No. Did they say thank you? No.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, they were okay. Like, "No, thank you." But I just because I don't do it as often as you do, Casey, and I think it's really nice when you do, but I sort of went out on a limb, and they're like, no, we can't do that. Thank you anyway. And I was like, oh, man, I shouldn't have tried.
You know what's wonderful to do, Nick? If you see an old gentleman or an older woman at a restaurant, and they're eating alone, you go up to the register, and you go, she's paying for my meal. And,
absolutely.
And then you leave.
Yeah. And then they're like probably so senile, they don't even know. Yeah. They're like, did I say that?
Steve. They just want the attention.
She was too embarrassed to say it.
Yeah. She's so sweet. And she said she wanted to do this for me. And I said no. I said no. Old. Yeah. And by the way, can I get it? I just want lobster dinner to go. I just had soup and a roll, and it says $58. Yeah, well, the guy you bought, the bald guy, who was just a...
He said so.
Yeah, and I don't remember.
Seabass said this was
on. All right,
I noticed another story or two here. Okay, this is interesting. The hotel chain that starts with an M that you know very well. How would you pronounce that name?
Marriott.
Right, Marriott. Okay, just wanted to hear you say it.
Yes.
That's not how you pronounce it.
Is it Marriott?
It's Sheridan.
It's not Marriott.
Is it Marriott?
Nope.
All right. Are any of the letters silent?
No.
Is it Marriott?
No, there's no rolling R's.
Okay.
It's a family name, okay, of the company's founder who started the business in 1957.
Another guess, Marriott?
Nope, in Arlington, Virginia. And now Marriott International is a global enterprise, most recently opening at the St. Regis in Hong Kong. And the Marriott team says that if you're pronouncing Marriott correctly, it should actually rhyme with chariot.
Marriott.
Well, that's Marriott. Right. That's what Marriott. I say Marriott, right?
No, you're saying Ott.
You said Ott.
Marriott.
It's Marriott.
Oh, Marriott. Really? Okay. Yeah. All right.
You want to Marriott?
Yeah, yeah. You don't say chariot. Yeah. It's chariot.
Okay.
Marriott.
Marriott.
Well, they could go to hell.
But it says most of people pronounce it with a hard Ott at the end, but...
And they will refuse service if you don't say it right.
They will deny you service even if you've had a
reservation
for months.
Why don't you go hop on your chariot and get out of here?
Yeah, exactly.
I will say... It's a pretty standard place, you know. I feel like you can't go wrong with a Marriott.
They're solid. Really They're very can't. Solid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in their rewards program.
Are you?
Because we stayed there a few times, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and you remember the movie Up in the Air, where he's like, you really should look into the rewards programs, and because you get, you know, you front the line, they give you little gifts, you get some discounts every now and then. If you go enough times, you get a free couple of nights. So I'm like, you know what, it's right. If I'm going to be staying at hotels, I may as well be getting something out of it. And I've always liked to stay at a Marriott, and they have them all over the place.
Did they just purchase Sheridan?
Yes, Sheraton is in the Marriott family as well.
Marriott. You love it so much, you're going to marry it.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a great way to think of it.
It's a way to remember it.
In fact, when we were down in Clearwater, there was a Sheridan across the street and the Marriott we stayed in.
No, we stayed at the Sheridan.
We stayed at Sheridan.
And the Marriott across the street, but there's both the same company, same deal.
Yeah. Correct. All right, something else.
Let me see. Something else from the noticer.
I have two stories that have to do with pigs.
Oh, man.
Real pigs or just disgusting people?
Pigs are bacon and sausage. You can pick. Which one do you pick?
Bacon.
All right, bacon and sausage. We'll start with this. Bacon and sausage fuel cancer twice as much as previously thought, a study suggests. Casey, you did an audible jerk. Like, huh? Like a shot ran through your soul.
For a little while there, like, bacon's sort of been like something I've been eating for breakfast every day.
And a number of diets have said that bacon's a good source, of
protein.
And what was the trendy diet that really had people socking the bacon away?
Paleo?
Was it paleo? No,
keto and stuff like that.
Keto, bacon-o.
Because the fat and protein a lot of times come together. They're saying that that's okay if you balance it with a low carbohydrate.
Right,
blah,
right.
Blah, blah.
Peculiar thing about bacon and myself is it's not like it's my favorite. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I gravitate towards it. Like, I don't get bacon cheeseburgers because I think that the bacon overpowers the taste of the burger.
I'm a sausage. I'm a fan. If given the choice of bacon and sausage, I usually go for sausage. That's on this list, too.
I was getting the turkey sausage pretty consistently here at Manja, but this is nothing against Manja. the quality of it was inconsistent. So, you know, some days I liked it and some days I didn't. So I was like, you know what? You know, bacon is pretty standard.
And I have it rarely. Yeah. And honestly, at home, we, you know, it's the God sauce that we use.
Yeah.
My wife is a big, you know,
turkey bacon.
Thinks pigs are cute and the whole deal. I got it. That's cool.
Oh, so she'll only eat the turkey bacon?
Yeah, only the turkey
bacon. Same with my daughter. She loves pigs.
I hate regular bacon. I always have my entire life. Never ate it. And I used to love sausage. Now I don't. So I don't eat either.
Well, good, because you have less of a chance of bowel tumors.
Oh, perfect.
What if you want Because it raises them, the risk of bowel tumors by a fifth.
Preston, when you have your sausages, now I've always preferred them a little overcooked, a little crispy.
Bacon or sausage?
Well, actually both.
Both, yeah.
Yeah.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah.
No,
I like my orange juice crisp.
Okay. but I do prefer links over patty sausages.
I do as well, yes.
So anyhow, the World Health Organization ranked the meat alongside cigarettes in 2015 when it classified...
You can't eat cigarettes!
...carcinogenic to humans. They warned that 50 grams processed meat a day, which is, says two rashers or 1.5 bangers. Where do you think this story came out of?
England.
Increased the risk of bowel cancer by 18%.
Jesus.
What's that blood thing that they eat over there? Is it blood sausage?
A blood sausage.
Oh, it's so gross.
Oh, my God.
I know, Preston, you like a lot of that stuff. You're like...
I'm not too... The blood sausage is good. I mean, it's not too far off from Scrapple, to be honest, I think. But,
You know, like when spam... Again, when it's done up and it's a little crispy and a little overcooked, to me, that's... When I was a kid, I kid you not... The edict for my mother, and I was not a big pork fan. I've never been a big pork fan. But when we had pork chops, she would incinerate mine so much so that I could crack off pieces that way.
That's not fun.
I know, but that's the way I like to eat it. Yeah.
So when we were in Ireland years and years ago, every morning the hotel we stayed at, I had the same breakfast. It was eggs and some blood sausage and a grilled tomato. Hmm. And I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Actually.
And I think they had some bangers as well, if you want to call them.
Some bangers with your breakfast. Here you're from. You're from America, aren't you?
You get bowel cancer.
You get bowel cancer. How big do you want your tumors?
The risk of bowel cancer rose by 20% with every 24 grams of processed meat people ate each daily. So they recommend instead...
Asbestos.
That you go with fresh chicken and fish or swapping meat for pluses like beans and lentils for your standard meal. They also found that eating fiber in breakfast cereals and bread cut the risk of bowel cancer, but alcohol increased it as well. So I need to get more fiber in my diet.
You know what I love?
Fiber.
I on the weekend, I eat it all the time. Oatmeal. Love oatmeal.
That's a good source of fiber, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. With cut up almonds pork sausage and bacon ground up in it. And then ladle some spoonfuls of Crisco on it. Uh-huh. And I sprinkle little chunks of asbestos on top.
Okay, so that's all I have notice-wise. Although
that's all from the noticer.
Well, I did notice we have an audio clip.
Yay!
From earlier this morning when I was, getting Kathy to, I was throwing the traffic report and I had a little moment. So here's that. Once again, the word recent. Oh my God.
Was that you?
Recent. Oh my God.
Holy moly.
Not only did I burp, I went,
We have that moment isolated.
It sounds like it's auto-tuned.
There you go.
All right, here we go. Yep. Just leave channel on.
I like the music.
Is there a way to repeat that over and over?
It's musical in nature.
It sounds auto-tuned.
Yeah.
It's like T-Pain.
Jeez.
P-Pain.
Oh, my God. Okay.
What are you going to name that? Preston Burp?
Well, I am...
he's editing it.
I'm
right
editing
now.
It on the fly here.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Yeah,
okay.
You just want to loop it and loop it and loop it. And
Now copy the whole thing.
Okay, yeah.
And then add that onto it.
Oh, my God, I might have a heart attack.
Okay.
Okay.
And now each time you do it, it'll give you five times. Here we go. I think I might have beat Nick on a mouth noise.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah,
play it in context again if you could. Yeah.
Fun hasn't even started yet.
That's true. Once again, the word recent. Oh, my God.
Was that you?
It's like when you play the whole clip of Nick's yeah cup. It just doesn't sound like it happened in real life.
No.
It sounds like it was inserted into it. Oh, dear God. I love it. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and some more bizarre file stories to share with you. That's on the way. Stay with us.
Jackson's Jeep Club and Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram presents MMR's Mudder's Day 2019. Get dirty and get your Jeep on at Bridgeport Speedway, Sweetsboro, New Jersey, Saturday, May 11th. $15 per Jeep gets you in and a go at the custom dirt obstacle courses and mud pits.
Join us for another great day with our Jeeps in the dirt and mud. Plenty of room for spectators, too, with free parking. There'll be hundreds of Jeeps on site, Jeep parts to win, and you can even score MMRBQ tickets. Plus, cool vendors and food trucks, including Two Street Sammy's and DHY Motorsports.
MMR's Mudder's Day with Jackson's Jeep Club at Bridgeport Speedway. Tickets on sale now. WMMR.com for complete details. From Spirit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we're selling excitement. And 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
We're going to get to the Bizarre File now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
Let's get right to these stories. I showed Kathy the video of this yesterday. The Philippines were hit with a 6.3 earthquake that sent buildings swaying and people running for safety. But one of the more bizarre videos of the earthquake so far has to be the footage of water pouring out of a residential skyscraper in Manila's Binondo district. According to local reports, that water is from a penthouse swimming pool. Guys, it looks like Angel Falls.
It's amazing.
Really? Yeah.
And you try to say, what the hell is that? And then you realize, of course, it's a rooftop pool.
The building called the Anchor Sky Suites is relatively new. If you guys find the video of that, here you go, Casey.
Look at this.
Take a look.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's relatively new, and it didn't officially open until 2015. It's one of the tallest buildings in the area and is credited as the tallest building in any Chinatown around the world outside of China. Another video shows the opposite angle of the building as water cascades down. Thankfully, the earthquake didn't cause a tsunami, at least not from the ocean. The water only makes it about halfway down the 625-foot structure before turning into a wind-swept mist. And it's just wild. The earthquake was centered about 37 miles northwest of Manila. There was a few people that did die in it, unfortunately.
Have you guys ever stood underneath a significant waterfall?
Yes.
And feel the pressure of it?
Oh, yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
We tend to not really believe the power of moving water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even if you get into a stream or something, I can manage that. Once you start to feel it coming down, and the weight of water coming down on you from a fairly active waterfall will surprise you.
We did it in Jamaica, and I remember standing there. I'm standing with my head under as well, and my face is in this grimace, and I'm like, oh, this is great. God, it's so much fun. It's like somebody repeatedly hitting you on the head with a sledgehammer.
This is so romantic.
Oh, this is great. I just wanted to regret we came here.
Quick question with this story. How much water was removed from the pool from the earthquake?
Yeah. I don't know. A Texas pizza restaurant was closed for the weekend after an employee reportedly put laxatives on a pizza Friday.
That's a topping you can get?
Causing a co-worker to get sick.
Oh.
The incident happened at Mr. Jim's Pizza in Springtown, Texas. Police said that somebody notified them that a Mr. Jim's employee posted on social media that they put Miralax on pizzas.
Thank God they're so stupid.
Three employees at the restaurant put Miralax on at least one pizza, which was eaten unknowingly by a co-worker. The employee who ate the food got sick. Police said they questioned the three employees who made the pizza, and they denied putting any laxatives on any pizza purchased by the public. Police said they contacted the restaurant's owner and the health inspector who pulled Mr. Jim's health permit as well. The restaurant will remain closed until it is reinspected this week.
Yeah, a pepperoni and Mito, please.
Mm-hmm. MMA fighter Joyce Vieira has been pictured attacking a man after he allegedly exposed himself while she was taking part on a photo shoot on the beach. Vieira was posing for photos in swimwear when she claims the man performed a sex act on himself. Unfortunately for the man, he probably didn't realize that she is an amateur MMA fighter.
Whoops.
And man, did she dish out some brutal punishment. Photos posted to Twitter show Vieira attacking the man in a rage. She said, when I looked over there, he had his shorts down and was standing on a path where people pass all the time, including children. She reported the man to police, and he was subsequently arrested for committing an obscene act, although he claims he was simply urinating. She said, it's very strange because he's going to be in the same city as me, and who knows, he might be in the same places.
Which one is the one where you orgasm, Preston? Is that urinating or self-pleasuring?
That's a different one.
Okay.
That's why I've received an innumerable number of messages from women saying that in similar situations, they didn't file a report because they know the suspect would end up being released, but she did.
And the guy was like really kind of just right there.
Yeah. All right, one last story. All right. Actually, I haven't even... Well, we'll save that one for tomorrow. Authorities say a vulture caused a crash that killed a married couple as they rode a motorcycle in southern Kansas. Yeah. Those things are huge.
Yeah.
The Kansas Highway Patrol says the bird came out of a ditch Saturday afternoon and struck a 42-year-old Brandon husband in the head on a rural road about 13 miles northwest of a town called Medicine Lodge. The motorcycle then went off the road, struck a barbed wire fence, and overturned. The patrol said the husband died at the scene. The wife died at the hospital later on, so that's scary.
I think he was a veteran, too. Had been over, like, seas in Afghanistan and all that stuff. And
terrible.
Dies this way.
All right, that's what I got in the bizarre file for you. We will take a break, but not before we get a winner for the secret text word. I know the phone lines are still a little clogged up from our giveaway a moment ago, but we'll clear those lines. And, Kathy, give me a number. Caller, please.
Eight.
Please. I said plea.
Oh, whatever. You also...
I know. I also did this, if you want to reminisce about that. Call number 8 at 215-263-WMMR. It's a banner day on the show. We'll be right back.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
93.3 WMMR. Eve 6, is that who that was? Is that who we were playing?
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I just I took my frustrations out on a piece of furniture here in the studio.
Two things. If anyone repairs office furniture, please get in touch with us. And if anyone knows the ticketing procedures at Hershey Park, let us know.
The ticketing procedures?
Kathy had a question.
Oh, okay. Thanks. No, I just, my chair has been falling apart, and I've been trying to fix it, and I finally had it, and I kicked it across the room.
Well, no, I thought it was a simple swap out, but this thing, this is death waiting to happen.
It's pissing me off.
This is the Grim Reaper and Staples coming
right
together.
And my shoulder, the tear in my rotator cuff started acting up. It's pissing me off.
You know what, though? What it's really about is the tear in your soul.
I know. It's ripping me apart.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa.
All right. We need to go to the phones, get a winner for our secret text where we're looking for a caller. And it was number 8. And that is Maggie. Let's say hello to Maggie. Hi, Mag.
Hi, Preston. How are you?
Don't ask.
He's got a problem with his shoulder and his chair was attacking him.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you want from me, Maggie? Actually, I want from you a word, and what is that word?
The word is headband.
Headband is correct. Yeah. Hang on just a second, Maggie, because we are going to give you some tickets. I guess I'll look up here. We'll give you some tickets to
Westeros.
At the bottom.
There we go.
There it is.
To Jesus. Trevor Noah's.
Hey!
Loud and Clear Tour.
Look over here!
May 3rd at 10 p.m. at the Met, Philadelphia. And tickets are now on sale at Ticketmaster.com. We also grabbed a random texter, and that is Phyllis Hudson.
Hey! Look over there!
From Mount Ephraim, and she is getting the same thing. Do you say Ephraim or Ephraim?
I say Ephraim.
Yeah.
I say Ephraim.
You say Ephraim? All right.
Let's call the whole thing off.
So we have tickets for Phyllis as well. So congratulations. We're going to do the lesson question today. I'm going to give away an Avengers Endgame pack, which is tickets and some other tchotchkes to go along with this. So the question that I have for this you this morning, I haven't had a chance to really take a good look at these yet, so I apologize. If you're going to buy some lonely old person, if you're going to get some lonely old person to pay for your dinner, what should you get to go? 215-263-WMMR. If you're going to get some lonely old person to pay for your dinner, what should you get to go? 215-263-WMMR. You heard it. You know it. Then you should call in now. So do that very thing. And we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, I'm sure you got some stuff for us this morning. What is it?
I do. Nearly $12 million worth of fake championship and team rings were seized by U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials. Investigators say the rings were not professionally done, noting that the team name Mets was spelled with an L.
What?
Yeah. Handlers for Britney Spears denying reports that she's receiving electroshock therapy for panic attacks. The stories began circulating after pictures surfaced of Spears sitting in a hot tub with a George Foreman grill.
Oh, my God.
Can't do that. And finally, 35-year-old Scott Disick and 20-year-old girlfriend Sophia Richie might be heading for a split over her desire to have children. From what we understand, Richie is not looking to raise a family and just wants someone to play with. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty. We'll see if you know the answer to this question. If you're going to get some lonely old person to pay for your dinner, what should you get to go? 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Mark, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, buddy. All right, so if you're going to get a lonely old person to pay for your dinner, what should you also get to go?
I would like to have a lobster dinner, please.
That is correct. Hang on, bud. Well, Mark, we have the Avengers Endgame prize pack, including a pair of Midwood Fandango tickets to see the film, a lunchbox, T-shirt, sunglasses, and more, plus a pair of tickets to see Marvel Universe of Superheroes, which is now open at the Franklin Institute. Explore Marvel's legacy through immersive set pieces, original artwork, movie props, costumes, and more. An exhibit for the hero in all of us. You can get tickets today at fi.edu. Music news time.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, where do we begin? I got a few different things here. Let's start with the band Bad Wolves.
Yeah, Bad Wolves.
They're actually looking for a new song to cover following the band's massive breakout success last year with its rendition of the Cranberries' classic Zombie, and originally scheduled to feature a guest appearance from late frontwoman Dolores O'Riordan. She, of course, passed away while the sessions were going on, actually.
She was actually going to talk about driving over to the recording studio.
Yeah, the single launched shortly after her death in January and went on to top the rock radio charts and sell a million copies. Bad Wolves have been working on their sophomore LP and are now apparently seeking fan input on a potential new cover song. The band wrote on Twitter, "We're really close to wrapping up the record, and we can't wait to drop new tunes on you guys. But here's a question. If we did another cover song, what would you guys want to hear?" So they're going to take some suggestions from people.
Press, does Rush do any covers that...
They actually did a whole album of covers.
Oh, really?
For fun. They did, like, Summertime Blues and The Seeker and a couple of songs that it was kind of weird. I didn't really like it.
Okay.
They did it just for themselves. They did it for fun. These are songs they liked, and they put it out, and it didn't really do too much.
Never did them in concert or anything like that?
No, I think they've done The Seeker in concert before. Yeah, in fact, when they did the R40, which was their retrospective of their entire career before they wrapped up, before they retired, I think they might have played The Seeker that night just to represent that, because they wanted every single album
Seeker's
represented.
Seeker's a good song.
Yeah,
were they faithful renditions, or did they put their spin on them?
No, they kept them pretty straight ahead, right, which was interesting because you're used to all these complex pieces of music from those guys, and they were pretty simple and straight ahead. So, but it was different, you know. I know Fish does plenty of covers for
they
fun.
They do, and sometimes it'll maybe be a one-off or whatever, but then other times it ends up being like their own.
Their own.
Like, so there's a song by Ween, and Ween's a Philadelphia band. And
Push the Little Daisies.
Yeah, so there's a song called Roses Are Free, and for the longest time, I thought it was Fish's song. And as it turns out...
You also thought Quinn the Eskimo was a Fish song.
I did. Well, yeah. And because I didn't, you know, I'm not...
Yeah, it's an old song.
It's an older song. Yeah. I didn't know. But what I like about when a band will do covers is when they kind of make it their own a little bit.
I like Alien and Farm's cover of Smooth Criminal more than the original.
Yeah.
And how about the band, was it the Ataris when they did...
Boys of Summer?
Boys of Summer. That's a great version of that song. Yeah.
So. Black flag sticker on a Cadillac.
Yeah.
Instead of...
Yeah, they tweaked
Deadhead.
It a little bit.
Deadhead sticker,
but
yeah.
Like, you talk about, like, All Along the Watchtower, all the covers are different. Like, so Hendrix's cover, obviously, is the one I think is the most...
I think it's better than Dylan's version of
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And then Dave Matthews' cover of it is totally different than that.
Do you know that Achy Breaky Heart is a cover?
No.
Is it? Really? Yeah, I always thought that was a Billy Ray Cyrus original.
There's another band did it before he did, and it was It was not a hit. It was Yes.
And isn't it slower?
Kind of strange John Anderson sang that song. You know what? The name was different. It was Achin' Breakin' Heart.
Oh.
And he changed it to Achy Breaky, and then it became a huge hit. So.
And it wasn't heart, it was fart.
Oh, my Achin' Breakin' fart.
George Jones released in 1961.
Oh, my God. That George Jones is one of the seminal country music stars.
Peaked at number five in 1962.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, I didn't know it went back that far.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, interesting.
George Jones goes, was... Who was who sang with Dolly Parton was in the beginning of her career was a female duet singer with a legendary country artist. Yeah. I think it was George Jones.
I think you're right. I'm pretty sure.
And he was kind of an alky and was known to be sort of abusive.
He was married to Tammy Wynette from the late 60s to the mid 70s.
There must have been a huge age difference.
Yeah, I don't know. And then George Jones died in April of 2013.
Huh. 81. Let's move on. Slipknot's business manager has fired back at Chris Fenn over the percussionist's claim that he hasn't been properly compensated for his years of touring and recording with the group. Last month, Fenn had sued Slipknot singer Corey Taylor, percussionist Sean Crahan, as well as her business manager, Robert Shore, and six companies linked to the group, claiming that Shore worked to enrich Taylor and Crahan out of proportion to the efforts and undivided interest of the other general partners. Slipknot responded by announcing that Fenn had been fired. And an affidavit submitted as part of the effort to have Fenn's lawsuit dismissed, Shore, the manager guy, the business manager, wrote, Fenn performed with Slipknot and received a fee for doing so. He's not a shareholder, owner, or member of any business entity he names as a defendant in this action. Shore described Crahan and Taylor as founding members, although Fenn has been with the band since 1998 and participated in every single one of their albums since then.
The perception is always he was a gun for hire?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And he had said, Slipknot said in its statement dismissing Fenn, Chris knows why he's no longer a part of Slipknot. We are disappointed that he chose to point fingers and manufacture claims rather than doing what was necessary to continue to be a part of Slipknot. So they got a new album coming out in August, by the way. Ozzy Osbourne's son Jack says that his father's doing really well, less than a month after health struggles forced the singer to cancel all live appearances through the end of the year. Jack was asked for an update on Ozzy's health status and replied, he's doing really well. He's good. He's getting back on his feet. He is, so he's good. In a separate interview with People magazine, he said his father is doing well, getting back to being his cynical old self, which is always a good sign. When he's complaining about mundane things, you know he's good. So, yeah, he's back to normal. He had to cancel a bunch of shows.
What was the health issue again? His head fell off.
No. That is a good question, Steve. I thought it was...
MS?
He recovered... No. He was... Oh, yeah. He recovered from an injury sustained while dealing with his recent bout of pneumonia. Like, he fell down or something like
okay.
that.
Okay. I thought it was something like that, yeah.
Yep. All right, and then one last story. Bruce Springsteen fans are scratching their heads as to the two recent shots of desert trees posted as updates on the boss's Twitter and Instagram feeds. You saw this?
I did, and I'm like, I don't follow Bruce Springsteen on
that. Trees!
It looked like a Joshua tree or something like that.
Oh.
NJ.com reported that Tuesday's post ruled out the theory that Springsteen was simply posting a photo in celebration of Earth Day. According to the report, the timing of the social media post is somewhat conspicuous. Rumors began to circulate in Europe last week about the new album, with supposed Springsteen insiders from Italy claiming a new single was coming April 26th.
Born to Trees.
And a new album would follow in June. And now that's all currently unsubstantiated. But Bruce did say in December that in 2019 he had been taking a break from touring to focus on various recording projects that I've been working on, he said. last year, he told Variety his next album was already in the can and featured a production sound that was reminiscent of the expansive tracks produced in the 1970s by such artists as Glen Campbell, Jimmy Webb, and Burt Bacharach. So
that might be interesting.
I don't know if that is indeed the case or if this is a teaser for that, but we'll have to wait and see. And there you go. That's what I got for you, your music news this morning. We have one more break to take, so let's do that. Come back in a second. Letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. We will get that when we return. Make sure you stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Rival Sons on 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Do your worst is the name of the song. We are the Preston and Steve Show. That is the name of our show. And you are just you, and you know, you worry about that. And
you enjoy, do you.
Enjoy this beautiful day. It's sunny out and breezy, and today's high about 72 degrees. It might feel just a tiny bit cool, but there's nothing wrong with that. We had a nice warm day yesterday. Afternoon rain tomorrow. Got to see when that's going to be starting. We'll be inside at Parks Casino, but I am hoping, because we're going to be in our beer garden, or in their beer garden, and it's got this really cool retractable roof.
Yes.
It gives you an outdoor feeling, even though you're inside. So we'll see if we can open that baby up. We'll do some more invites tomorrow morning on the program. Tomorrow's high about 63, and then some rain expected on Friday. But Saturday looks good, 66 and sunny. So
it's all correct temperatures. I think a solid spring so far.
Yeah, I would agree. So let me see. Thank you to thank you guys for meaning the other members of the President's Steve Show for quizzing me on Game of Thrones. I really wanted to do that.
It was Nick McAway, Nick Murphy, and Beth.
Yeah, Beth texted me, by the way, Beth Gardner, and she said I did a great job.
So
that was awfully nice.
Did a fine job.
Yeah, but I enjoyed that. I love being tested on stuff like that, and I didn't want to face off against other people. I didn't want to make it a competition that way. I just wanted to see how I would do on my own, and I'm pretty happy. Although a couple of gimmies, man, I should have gotten right, but you know. It happens. It does. That's all I have to thank. And I know he's right outside the door, and I'm waiting for him to come in because
we've got
to do the letter of the day, and I can't stall anymore. So we'll do that very thing. Pierre Robert is indeed here wearing his 501 shirt.
Thank you.
Hey, man. How are you?
Rocco.
Rocco.
Obado.
No. I. You know what? I'm going to try to come right back at you with things that I don't even, because you don't even think about it.
You just say
whatever is in that vessel of yours at any point in time, and I'll try to respond in kind.
Thank you.
Biljin.
I like it.
Not even a word, but it just came out of my mouth.
Rocco Biljin.
Yeah.
It's a porn star.
I like Rocco it. Biljin. Yeah. Yes.
Rocco Biljin. That's beautiful. All right, should we do the letter?
Yeah.
All right.
Preston and Steve. Hi. 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter
R.
All right.
As in radical.
All right.
Not Rocco Biljin?
Not Rocco Biljin.
Not Rocco Biljin.
R is in Rocco Biljin. We have an autographed KG Elephant guitar, plus a pair of pit tickets to see them with Beck and Spoon at BB&T Pavilion. Wednesday, August 21st, some tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com. And you had the playback yesterday. That was cool.
Yeah, it was fun. A really great session.
Excellent. So we're going to give that away on Friday. So two more letters to go, and then we are home free on that one. What's happening today?
By the way, the audio, I believe, is already up from the interview. If you would like to check that out, WMMR.com. We're working on the music with the band because there are some copyright issues with music. But I think we'll have some music soon, but we don't quite have it yet.
Okay.
They played live. But they were great, and it's cool that you have that goodie for them to give away. I will have Rolling Stones' Honk, which is one of the greatest hits packages, on vinyl. And it's got really cool cuts from all the Stones albums and the Grand...
That's a honk.
That's a honk.
Oh. I was thinking that was... I like that. That's really good. It threw me off, though.
I know. It takes you out of your space.
It doesn't take much, but anyway.
It's a call horn.
Yeah, it's a horn. One time you were talking about the Stones and Steve came out with a Mick imitation. I don't like you. It was so funny.
I don't like you. I don't like you.
Anyway, we'll have that honk vinyl thing to give away. And the grand prize winner gets a deluxe edition, a color 4LP of Honk.
No.
Thank you. We'll have fund you opportunities, two at 11 a.m. and at 1 p.m. Honk if you love me. And we'll also have workforce blocks of Chris Cornell and The Doors and Collective Soul. And we have today a conversation with Ed Roland of Collective Soul. And we will world premiere the brand new single.
Nice.
From the upcoming album Blood. The rest of the country gets it tomorrow. Collective Soul is giving it to us today. So we'll talk with Ed about it and be the first in the country to play the brand new single from Collective Soul.
That's really cool.
Later this afternoon, probably in the 1 o'clock hour.
That band just keeps cranking it out, man.
I mean, it's just one after the other. And you get any given Collective Soul record, particularly in the last 5 or 6 years, you will find it every song to be listenable. You know, he just has that ability to you know, knock him out.
It's a huge achievement.
Cool, man. Let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International. And also, sorry, one more here, Planet Fitness. Get the Planet Fitness Black Card, and you'll enjoy massage chairs, hydro massage, tanning, and more. Tomorrow on the program, let's see, in our studio, we will have comedian Marcela Arguello stopping in. So we'll spend some time talking to Marcela, and I know we'll have many, many other things for you, many, many people. So make sure that you're with us. That's it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Is there any way that Thanos can snap his fingers and half of the population or the biggest holes can disappear? That would be perfect. Thank you.
Next message.
2020, Webster's Dictionary, Marvel Woods. It has to be in there.
Next message.
And so, after a long day of blowing glass, holding torches, and just pretty much sweating my nuts off, I am going to go have a motherfucking milkshake. Why? Because it is my privilege.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.